I'm really sorry. I'm going to be butchering some of these pronunciations. I am trying my best.
I first learned it as a Kirin, K-I-R-I-N, which is a Japanese version of this. But they will occasionally be portrayed as having two different horns, but their manes will be going straight up in this, like, magical, defying gravity kind of thing.
And instead of being a normal horse coat that's fur, it a lot of the times is scaly. They're almost a dragon mixed with a unicorn look in the sculptures and in the art.
But they were definitely associated with goodness. They were sometimes depicted as flying simply because they didn't want to harm anything, even a blade of grass.
Another thing associated with this is it represents both male and female elements. The name itself is a split between male and female. You have the Ki, which is male, Lin, which is female. That pattern also shows up with another Chinese-based creature associated with purity, and this is the phoenix.
Now, the word phoenix actually comes from Mediterranean, the Phoenicians, but what we're talking about is the bird creature that gets reborn in fire.
So in Chinese, the name is Feng Wang. Again, the Feng represents male, Wang represents the female. But you also have bases in, like Lee said, the Mediterranean. You have some bases of a similar creature in Egyptian mythology. We just kind of combine and call it all the phoenix now because that's what's become popularized.
Now, for the most part, what comes to mind when I'm thinking phoenix is Harry Potter, where you've got the big bird that's about the size of a peacock, long, beautiful tail, mostly red with highlights of gold throughout it. Some portray it more as an eagle, especially I think the Native American styles of that kind of character in their culture. They tend to be songbirds, as well as creatures that either when they die, they turn into ash, or they must be born from the fire in some way.
And in Christian traditions, the phoenix has become associated with Christ and the resurrection of Christ. You have Islamic traditions that have brought in the phoenix, that they see the phoenix as created by God to have all perfections. And throughout all of it, it is the rebirth, the immortality, the continuing to live and grow in perfection.
A lot of mythological creatures across the world have a lot of similarities. We're going to notice that throughout this whole series. There's a version of whatever. There's a water elemental here and a djinn here and the nymph here. There are similarities because we come up with ideas based on the world around us. The next creature we're going to talk about is based on something we all see, but not on this world itself.
While many of us grew up seeing a man on the moon, ancient traditions don't see a person. They see a rabbit.
This one was a new one for me when we were researching the different creatures for this.
So you have essentially two separate parts of the world, the Asian area and the indigenous America area, that came up with their own stories for why there's a rabbit on the moon. But all of them tend to be associated with prosperity, fertility, life, purity.
Rabbits and fertility going hand in hand is not exactly a new concept.
So in the Chinese and other Asian cultures, the moon rabbit is seen as a companion to the moon goddess. And this is the version that creates the antidotes, the elixirs, the herbs for the immortals.
Another story from the Cree Nation in Northern America tells the story of a rabbit that hitched a ride to the moon by hanging onto the legs of a crane, which is why they get all long.
The rabbit just wanted to ride the moon, so it hitched a ride with a crane.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. That one in particular explains why you can see a rabbit on the moon and why the crane's legs are so long.
In Mayan culture, the rabbit is also associated with their moon goddess, and they're frequently shown side by side.
Very much like the Chinese background. In Aztec traditions, The god Quetzalcoatl was once living as a human on Earth and thought he would die with no food or water during a long journey, and a rabbit offered himself to the god. As a reward, Quetzalcoatl put the rabbit's image on the moon for people to remember her.
The last critter I wanted to just briefly mention is the caladrius, which is Roman, and it's an animal that's a bird associated with healing, and it was said to arrive in a king's window. I just thought it was an interesting one to kind of toss into the mix.
So the thing with purity is it's not limited to just animals. We talked about the animals. You can also look into plants, such as the world tree and the lily. Both of those in earth cultures very associated with purity.
And plants as monsters are just kind of fun anyway.
So this whole month is going to be us giving you starting points for your research, because we want to equip you with tools to find interesting things, things that you won't always see.
Or even make up your own monsters, especially if you're doing fantasy or sci-fi, something that doesn't take place on Earth. Making up your own monsters is part and parcel to the world-building process.
And that way you can write your book the way you want it to be, because we should always be
writing selfishly.
If you have a question or comment for our hosts or a topic you'd like us to cover, send us an email at writingroots@aspenhousepublishing.com or find us on Facebook by searching for Aspen House Publishing.
Nature of gender that are completely anti-biological and anti-common sense. What does that have to do with any of this? And the answer is, it all lies in the root belief that man is entirely malleable and that reality exists entirely in the mind. So if we just shift how we think about reality, a man can be a woman can be a man. All human beings can be remolded and shaped into utopian forms of themselves, widgets that we can play with from the top down to create a better society. That is how this particularly bizarre and radical perspective on gender fits into the broader left-wing rubric. Because once you have subjected yourself to relentless subjectivism, once you have decided that radical subjectivism is the truth about life, that reality does not exist out here, there's no such thing as reality, there are no such things as rules of biology do not exist, rules of physics do not exist, rules of history do not, nothing exists. The only thing that exists is in your mind, and that's the only thing that matters, because it grants you a sense of authenticity. Once you believe that, you can accomplish anything in this view. That is why this is important. Not because this particular person doing what this person wishes to do with their life, I disagree with the decisions. I don't think this is going to alleviate anything. I think the surgeons who perform these sorts of surgeries are committing a grave sin against humanity, frankly. But adults are adults in a free country. Hey, that said, the baseline notion that the rest of society has to accept as truth something that is obviously a lie is extraordinarily dangerous, and it ties into a broader belief system that says that lies can become the truth so long as those lies are convenient and necessary for the pursuit of utopia. In a second, I'm going to get to the story of this person, because I've sort of alluded to it, but the story really does tell the entire tale. We'll get to that in just one moment. First, I wanted to let you know, if you really enjoy The Ben Shapiro Show and The Daily Wire, we have a bunch of other shows over at DailyWire.com. Let Michael Knowles tell you about his show.
Hey, Michael Knowles here. As you might expect, I am the host of The Michael Knowles Show. Conservative pessimists say the world can't get any worse. Conservative optimists say it certainly can. Luckily, there is hope and a whole lot of fun to be had at the left's expense. Come check out The Michael Knowles Show at The Daily Wire. You can listen to the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, YouTube, or Facebook. It is all over the place. You can watch the full show ad-free on DailyWire.com. And don't miss exclusive videos we make on my YouTube channel, such as my woke commercial reviews and the Chaz Funniest Home Videos. We break down everything from Drag Queen Story Hour to the Paris Climate Agreement. So come on over and check out The Michael Knowles Show wherever you get your podcasts. Every Monday through Friday. See you there.
You know, I pretend that I really hate Michael, but really, it's not hatred. It's more just a strong and intense dislike. You heard it here first, gang. Make sure to check out The Michael Knowles Show. Okay, so before we get to the story, the details of the story, I just want to point out that the typical left-wing response to anybody even commenting on this is, why do you care? I care because you put this on the cover of a major national magazine. That's why I care, because you made this a national story. A person making what I believe to be a bad decision for themselves is not a national news story. You made it a national news story. And the reason you did so is specifically so that when we comment on it, when we notice that you are fighting against common sense and, frankly, common decency, when we notice that you are lying to people about the malleability of human sex When we notice that, you call us bigots. And you say, why are you even noticing? Why do you notice? Why do you notice? We're noticing because you have made this the front line of the culture war. And you want to dictate this to my children. You want to tell my kids that your view of gender and sex is the real view of gender and sex. And you want to call anybody who disagrees a bigot. In other words, this is bait. But if you don't take the bait, then they win. Because if you don't take the bait, then the assumption is that what they are saying has some relation to reality or decency, and it has no relation to either. And so, honestly, I feel terrible for this human being. The reason I feel terrible for this human being is this person obviously has serious problems. Here is a story from July 5th, 2011. Journalist stages her own rape to cure trauma of witnessing sex attack on woman in Haiti. For journalist Mac McClellan, you'll notice that Gabriel Mac and Mac McClellan are the same human. For journalist Mac McClellan, it gripped her body and her mind in such a severe way, she had to simulate a violent rape to get over it. The Mother Jones civil rights reporter was on a job in Haiti in the aftermath of the 2010 earthquake when she met a woman she called Sybil, who had been raped at gunpoint and brutally mutilated by a gang of men. After Ms. McClellan, 31, accompanied her to the hospital, where the surgeon who performed a reconstructive surgery on her told her she was a slut and deserved what she got, they were on their way back in a taxi when Sybil saw one of the men who raped her. Ms. McClellan recalls she went into a full paroxysm, wailing and flailing in terror, screaming with her eyes rolling in abject terror. It was at that point that something snapped in Ms. McClellan, too. Despite the fact that she had seen the impact of sexual violence all around the globe, having reported from the Congo and Burma, this incident was more than she could take. According to ABC, she became progressively enveloped in the classic symptoms of post-traumatic stress. Avoidance of feelings, flashbacks, recurrent thoughts that triggered crying spells. She couldn't get out of bed in the morning and had nightmares and daymares about rape. The 31-year-old went to see a therapist in her home of San Francisco, and despite getting treatment for PTSD, she told her therapist all she wanted to do was have incredibly violent sex. Her therapist suggested it was a good idea and told her to find someone who she trusted enough to do it. Ms. McClellan believed it was this staged violent rape with a close friend that cured her. She even wrote an article about it for the online magazine Good. In it, she explains how her sexual partner mercilessly pinned her, beat her about the head, and brutally violated her. She wrote about the rape, "I did not enjoy it in a way a person getting screwed normally would, but as it became clear that I could endure it, I started to take deeper breaths, and my mind stayed there, stayed present even when it became painful, even when he smothered me with a pillow, not to asphyxiate me, but so that he didn't break my jaw when he drew his elbow back and slammed his fist into my face 2, 3, 4 times. My body felt devastated but relieved. I lost but survived. After he climbed off..."
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
When you humor mental disorder, you are not making the mental disorder better. My grandfather, who was manic depressive, as I mentioned, right, he had the experience of believing that the radio was talking to him, telling him to kill himself. And for years, my grandmother, who just passed away, my grandmother would lie in bed and tie her foot to his because she knew that if he got up in the middle of the night, he might try to kill himself with a razor. Okay, that is what mental disorders are. To pretend that the radio actually was talking to him and we just needed to humor that would have been cruelty. It wasn't until he got on lithium decades later that he actually began to live a normal life. And treating people who are mentally disordered as though that is a form of mental order and that it's only society that has done something wrong is cruel and nasty. And then to dictate to the rest of the world that the rest of the world is supposed to mirror this perspective is insane. And it promotes insanity. Okay, and this brings us to the New York Magazine cover piece. "My Penis Myself. I didn't need a penis to be a man, but I needed one to be me." Well, actually, it turns out you're not a man. It turns out you're a biological woman with, as evidenced by your own coverage of the issues, some problems. And I feel, honest to God, I feel terrible for this person. But to pretend that this person is just a mentally healthy man is ridiculous on every possible level that is possible for It makes a mockery of the word ridiculous to suggest this is ridiculous. We'll get to more of this in just one. And by the way, demanding that all of us acquiesce and approve and cheer and putting it on the cover of magazines. Hey, this is 1984 doublethink. That is what this is. We're going to get to more of this in just one second. First, if you really enjoy The Ben Shapiro Show and The Daily Wire, we have a bunch of other shows over at DailyWire.com. Let Matt Walsh tell you about his show.
Hey, this is Matt Walsh, host of The Matt Walsh Show. Most of us, you know, don't wake up in the morning thinking about what the bureaucrats in D.C. are up to. At least I don't. Our concerns are more immediate than that, which is why I focus on social issues, culture, family, faith, even sometimes pop culture. Political issues are important, but I don't think they're the most important thing or the most entertaining thing, frankly. So if you're looking for a conservative show that goes beyond politics and brings you stories the mainstream media tries to ignore, come check out The Matt Walsh Show, Monday through Friday, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube, Facebook, anywhere you go for podcasts, I'm there. Plus, if you check it out on DailyWire.com, you can watch the entire show ad-free. The Matt Walsh Show. Check it out. I'll see you there.
If you're looking for cynicism, depression, and also hilarity, Matt is the place to go. Make sure you check out Matt's show. Well, all of this brings us to the actual cover story from New York Magazine. Man, wait till you hear it. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW Renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Welcome back. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. So New York Magazine has decided to feature a quote-unquote trans man on its cover, meaning a woman who believes she is a man because she has gotten a bunch of surgeries. Okay, so this brings us to the actual cover story from New York Magazine. On the day I heard that my penis would be huge, I sobbed. In the car outside the doctor's office afterward, I bent my torso in half and bawled, my face against the dashboard, my boyfriend petting my back to console me but confused. Isn't it good news that they can do it, like, at all? And obviously, yes, it was. Growing up without one, I thought or maybe convinced myself that mine would grow in later, to the extent that when I see a woman in tight pants, I still often instinctively think, where is her penis? But my period at 12 aptly, agonizingly bled to death that increasingly implausible dream of reconciling with life, with God, that he wouldn't make me like this and leave me like this forever. So the news 28 years later that the agony was going to be over, abundantly over, was a bit much to take in. I fixated on the information that a pert little average flaccid package was not an option for me. When I asked the surgeon how big my impending penis was going to be, he could only guess, pointing to the reusable water bottle in my hand, a metal cylinder 9 inches in circumference, smaller than that. I was so different from everybody else. I had always been so different. Phalloplasty in general, it was clear, was hard for people to accept. Well, I will love you no matter what, sweetie, a cis female best friend of mine said when I told her I was transitioning years before, as long as you don't get a dick. One flatly demanded, don't get a dick. It was another transmasculine person I used to know said, disgusting, insane to want or to have a surgeon make a sensate phallus out of your arm or leg or somewhere and frankenstitch it to your body to go so far out of your way to opt into a tool, perhaps the tool, of so much suffering. I love that there are people who are so left-wing that the presence of a penis is itself somehow an act of violence, okay? Most transmasculine people don't get one. The seminal print Transmasc magazine was named after not getting one. Original plumbing. I saw transmasculine support groups shut down and go silent more than once when someone brought up the procedure, and later, when I was that someone, I was twice invited to leave with other people who might want to talk about that. Whatever magical spectrum of unicorn gender expression was otherwise being embraced, it ended firmly before needing a socially, culturally, politically, historically, personally, emotionally, medically complicated dick. But I did, and I couldn't outrun it any longer. Literally, the day I gave in and admitted that for me it was penis or death came after a last-ditch bout of denial in which I drove 1,400 miles in 3 days only to have acknowledged, devastated, at my destination that I couldn't avoid it anymore. This person says, quote, there's a scene in Disney's original Dumbo when the child's elephant mom cradles him in her trunk and sings to him exuding love, quietly but wholly. As a kid feeling utterly unheld by this world, I hated it. As a grown man in a hospital bed, chest loosely draped with a gown in a low-lit December room, I looked down in the direction of a penis I'd assumed would be covered in bandages. But then there it was, laid out in an angle toward my left thigh, propped on a green cloth, and I, awed and heartful and weeping, sang that song to it. Baby mine. I don't know the words. While I'd been sleeping, two microsurgeons, a reconstructive urologist, a surgical fellow, and a surgical resident had, among other things, cut a 7 by 6 inch rectangle out of my right anterior lateral thigh. They'd taken all the skin and fat, plus one big nerve and some veins attached to the muscle, and connected the skin itself in the shape of a phallus. Then they slipped the whole thing under two of my thigh muscles, pulled up out of the way with a steel retractor, dragged the phallus across my groin under the skin, and pulled it back out into the world through a hole cut in the skin over my pubic bone. They connected the new penis's nerve to one of the nerve bundles in my native penis, which some people call a clitoris. Yeah, that's not a native penis, that's called a clitoris, which they cut free of its ligaments, then skinned, then tunneled up under the skin and out to the landing site of the new penis, the base of which they joined to the base of my pelvis, putting me all back together with sutures, some finer than a human hair. That penis, Dr. Babak Safa, one of the microsurgeons, said, when he came by to see me after, to see us, looks perfect. He was mostly talking about the blood flow. He did not mean that with its fresh stitches and a round bloody hole at the top where the skin would eventually close together, it would look like any other penis at the spa, but also, it was a lovely shape. Okay, so, are we supposed to believe that this makes you a man? Is that the idea? That this makes you, so according to this person, this didn't make them a man. The feeling made them a man. But they needed the penis in order to feel complete. And then this needed to be put on the cover of New York Magazine to promote the idea that this is a reflection of biological reality, that this person is a man now. Understand, this article is not about Gabriel Mack and this person's experiences in life. This article is about you, because the goal is to make you believe that 2 and 2 are 5. That is the goal. And if you refuse to believe 2 and 2 are 5, this makes you a bigot. This makes you a bad person. Radical subjectivism is not the way any functional society can work. Because radical subjectivism eventually, and this is the point in 1984, radical subjectivism eventually will be subjugated in favor of a top-down version of reality that somebody wants to impose. What this is really about, more than anything else, is getting you, again, to believe 2 and 2 are 5. That's what this is about. Alrighty, coming up, Omicron panic continues. Joe Biden has laid out his plan. It's not actually a plan. It's mostly just a yawp of rage. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA or go online to sfymca.org.
Greetings to my fellow veterans. This is Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of Veterans Affairs for the state of California. I'm a Korean vet and it's my honor to serve in the U.S. Army as a new immigrant to this great country. Thank you for your service. It will not be forgotten. It should be remembered that freedom is not free. It has been secured by brave sacrifice that all members of our military and their families have given since the beginning of a great, wonderful nation. Thank you for your service.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slate, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR1460.com.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden has now laid out his new COVID plan because all the old ones didn't work. Joe Biden laid out his plan for Omicron. Suffice it to say, Joe Biden's plan for Omicron is going to be completely ineffective because guess what's going to be effective against Omicron? The answer, you may have guessed, is nothing. That is correct. It turns out that the Omicron stats from South Africa are demonstrating that Omicron is not supremely dangerous. It is not as dangerous as Delta. It is not as dangerous as the original variant. South Africa is about 25 to 30% vaxxed. But Omicron, which has spiked in South Africa and now is coming down the other side in South Africa, did not kill massive numbers of people. In fact, it killed so few people in South Africa that Anthony Fauci has been forced to actually acknowledge the reality, which is that natural immunity might be a thing, because so many people in South Africa had already had COVID that when they got Omicron, it didn't matter very much. It's amazing to see Anthony Fauci suddenly acknowledge that natural immunity ought to be taken into account. Here he was discussing South Africa.
It is likely that the reason that it is less severe is that in South Africa, what you have is a very large proportion of the population has already been infected and recovered, and a relatively smaller proportion have been vaccinated. So it is likely that the protection against infection is not very good because it'll get into the nasopharynx and infect you. The reason they may have a less severe is that the underlying cross protection that you have from an experience of a virus of a different variant might actually be protecting you from severe disease, which predominantly involves the lungs.
Okay, so I'm noticing here that suddenly he believes in natural immunity. Welcome to the club, which has been around, as a Martin Kulldorff, former professor at Harvard Medical School, says, that the club of people who have understood natural immunity as a thing has existed for, approximately 1,700 years, something like that. Hey, I'm glad that Anthony Fauci has finally joined the club. That doesn't mean, by the way, he's not going to press for vax mandates, even for people who already have natural immunity. So President Biden decided to give a speech. The speech is not directed at actually solving the problem. The speech is directed at pretending to solve the problem, because, again, when it comes to this cult, the high priesthood must maintain that if only you would obey them, the problems would be solved. The problems won't be solved. Okay, you're not solving Omicron. It is 70 times as transmissible as Delta. Delta was twice as transmissible as the original variant. That means that Omicron is 140 times as transmissible as the original variant. In other words, we're all getting Omicron in the same way we all get a cold. And here's the good news. By the statistics available from South Africa and from the UK, by the way, you're not going to die from it. In fact, you are probably going to get mildly ill from it. If you're vaccinated, you're almost certainly going to get only mildly ill from it. If you're unvaccinated, theoretically, you could get more sick. We don't know how much more sick. Not as sick as you would have been if you got Delta. So President Biden has now outlined his strategy. Apparently, the strategy includes doubling down on vax campaigns and propping up hospitals as they confront a large influx of patients. Federal officials will direct resources, including army doctors, to support healthcare systems and distribute rapid tests to Americans. President Biden's speech was mostly directed at trying to scare the living hell out of you. But here's the thing. Omicron should be the time when you're not so scared. Okay, I'm noticing all around me institutions that are shutting their doors, schools that are shutting down, for example, in the face of Omicron. Kids are not dying even of Delta. They are certainly not dying of Omicron. We should not be testing the asymptomatic. We should not be pursuing a lockdown strategy. That's what this ends with, by the way. If you test the asymptomatic, you're locking down society. It's that simple. Omicron is too transmissible. Too many people have it. So if the idea is that if you're diagnosed with Omicron and you're asymptomatic, you're now supposed to stay home for 10 days, and you combine that with everyone should get tested, half of society will be staying home. You will shut down the entire economy of the United States. Okay, but everything they do is not geared toward success. It's geared toward leaving the impression that they can control this thing. So in reality, here's the actual solution to Omicron. You ready for this? You ready for this? You should get vaxxed if you're vulnerable or if you're older. You should have done that the entire pandemic. I've been very clear about this. And then, if you get Omicron, that's all. You will get Omicron, we will all get Omicron, we will virtually all survive, and we'll move on with our lives. Done. That's the plan. I know it sounds really crazy and really difficult to say that some people are going to get mildly ill and then that's going to be the end of it, but that's kind of what the stats show at this point. Yeah, but Joe Biden, Joe Biden is in a tough spot. He's made a catch-22 for himself. On the one hand, if he shuts down the economy, his presidency continues to crater. On the other hand, he has suggested that he is going to shut down the virus. I mean, he literally tweeted out he would shut down the virus, which no human being is capable of doing. So that means that he's going to try to split the baby. He says we should be concerned about Omicron, but not panicked. I have an idea. I'm vaxxed. I'm not concerned or panicked about Omicron. And as far as my kids go, I'm not concerned or panicked about my kids getting Omicron, because nobody who knows any of the data is concerned about kids getting Omicron. My parents are triple vaxxed. I'm not concerned about them getting Omicron. My wife is triple vaxxed because she's a doctor. I'm not worried about her getting Omicron. So how about I'm not concerned or panicked? Here's Joe Biden anyway.
We should all be concerned about Omicron, but not panicked. If you're fully vaccinated, and especially if you got your booster shot, you are highly protected. And if you're unvaccinated, you're at a higher risk of getting severely ill from COVID-19, getting hospitalized, and even dying. So the best thing to do is get fully vaccinated and get your booster shot.
Okay, well, as far as the booster shots go, what the data tend to show is that if you are elderly or immunocompromised, you should get a booster shot, because what the boosters basically do is they increase the number of antibodies in your system. Antibodies prevent the infection. So you can get a temporary boost, and that will prevent the infection for a certain period of time. If you have a slower immune system, which is what it means to be older or be immunocompromised, this means that preventing the disease is probably a good bet, right? It's worthwhile. If you're 30, your T-cell, B-cell memory is going to kick in, and you're going to be able to fight this off. So you will get infected, and then you'll have a mild cold, and your nose will run, and then you'll be done. And so that is why boosters are inapposite for everyone. In fact, there are many scientists, including the WHO, who suggest that boosters for 30-year-olds should be foregone in favor of getting first doses to people who are in Africa who have not been vaccinated at all, for example. Okay, then Joe Biden, again, he's trying to split the baby because he's stuck. He has made a promise he cannot fulfill. He was going to shut down the virus, but he can't shut down the virus. So on the one hand, we're not going back to March 2020, because if we go back to March 2020, he's toast, his party's toast, he knows it. So here he says, we're not going back to March 2020 conditions, but somebody needs to ask him why we're not going back to March 2020 conditions, considering that Omicron is going to spread way faster than the original variant, and you're telling people to be concerned.
Another question that folks are asking is, are we going back to March 2020, not this last March 2021, but March 2020, when the pandemic first hit? That's what I keep getting asked. The answer is absolutely no. No. Here are three big differences between then and now. First one, more than 200 million Americans have been fully vaccinated. In March of 2020, no one was fully vaccinated.
Okay, so he's saying that the vaccinations are what is going to prevent us from going March 2020. But you and your administration are saying that people who get it are still going to have to quarantine for up to 10 days, which means, effectively speaking, that if you have mass testing combined with that particular rule and lack of symptoms, you will go back to March 2020. It won't be a formal lockdown. It won't be shut your businesses' doors. It will be businesses cannot operate without their employees or their customers. So you will backdoor March 2020 into actual policy. Okay, so then Joe Biden says you can celebrate Christmas if you and those who celebrate with you are vaccinated. Now, here's what makes no sense about this. If you're vaccinated, you should be able to celebrate with the unvaccinated. That's the reality. The vaccines work at preventing hospitalization and death. And you can be infected by somebody else who's vaccinated. Half the people I know at this point probably have Omicron and have infected each other, and they're vaccinated, so nobody cares. Yeah, but here is Joe Biden saying a nonsensical thing.
And I know some Americans are wondering if you can safely celebrate the holidays with your family and friends. The answer is yes, you can. If you and those you celebrate with are vaccinated, particularly if you've gotten your booster shot. If you are vaccinated and follow the precautions that we all know well, you should feel comfortable celebrating Christmas and the holidays as you planned it. You know, you've done the right thing. You can enjoy the holiday season.
Okay, well, here's the thing. If you're unvaccinated, you can also enjoy the holiday season. You're just at higher risk than the vaccinated. Okay, and then he gets to, this is kind of an amazing statement from Joe Biden. So he says, we're vaccinating you to save your life. Right, we're not vaccinating you because we want to control your life. We're vaccinating you to save your life. Well, if this standard were held by the government would control your life. And because it turns out that the number one cause of death in the United States is heart disease. Heart disease is highly linked to obesity. Do you really want the government deciding what you can eat on a daily basis? Realistically speaking, the principle of which he is speaking, this broad principle that the government can do anything it wants in order to save your life, is, as we say, overbroad. Okay, here's Joe Biden saying, we're vaccinating you to save your life, not control your life.
I know vaccination requirements are unpopular for many. They're not even popular for those who are anxious to get them. My administration has put them in place not to control your life, but to save your life and the lives of others.
Okay, so saving the lives of others is not really the issue in the sense that, again, vaccinated people can transmit the disease. It is true that if you could force, if you were a benevolent dictator and you could force everybody to get vaccine, fewer people would die. The problem is we still have in this country a baseline notion that you should be able to make decisions about your own health that affect you. Okay, that is a baseline level of liberty. And once the government gets to decide that they can do whatever they want in order to, quote unquote, save your life, that means there are no limits. You end up in Michael Bloomberg land. No soda, no meat, no eggs. We all eat like Joe Biden wants us to eat. If there's no limiting principle here, there's no end to the control, which, of course, is kind of the idea. There is no end to the control. By the way, there's a certain irony here. That irony is that Joe Biden's press secretary, Jen Psaki, was asked about whether Joe Biden had COVID. And her answer was less than edifying.
How's the president feeling given close contact?
He's asymptomatic. I spent several hours with him this morning, and he is feeling great, and you'll see him at the speech shortly.
A question. That was not the question. The question was, has the president tested recently? And Jen Psaki's answer was, he's asymptomatic. Okay, so that's actually a good answer if you hold by my logic. That is a terrible answer if you hold by Joe Biden's logic. By my logic, if you're asymptomatic, I don't care whether you have COVID. I really don't. Because asymptomatic people have all sorts of stuff. We have never in the history of humanity tested people for asymptomatic things with the intent of shutting down their lives. The notion of testing the asymptomatic is a bizarre one. So by my lights, if Joe Biden is asymptomatic, he doesn't need to test. But we've been told that Joe Biden tests every day. Right? We were told that earlier this month. So if he tests every day and Jen Psaki is saying he's asymptomatic, that means that there's a good shot that he actually has COVID and is asymptomatic. And yet he's out there doing what he wants to do. I'm not sure what else I'm supposed to take away from Jen Psaki answering the question as to his COVID positive status by saying he is asymptomatic. You don't get to use Jen Psaki logic here. You have to use my logic to come to that particular conclusion. Okay, what all this is resulting in is a vastly discombobulated policy. And you can see it on the left. I mean, they're just running around, waving their hands around in the air like the crazy inflatable men at the used car lot. It's just a bunch of conflicting proposals that make no sense in tandem with one another. Alrighty, coming up. The Biden administration has itself in a bit of a pickle because on the one hand, they said they would end COVID. On the other hand, they can't. So this means they've come up with a bunch of discombobulated anti-data policy. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed. It's time to embrace American values. Our society is based on the freedom, not begging the government for permission. It's time to wake up, my brothers and sisters. Come check out my show every other Sunday, 8 to 9, Liberty Unabashed.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the Biden administration supposedly had a plan to end COVID. That didn't work. So then they had another plan to end COVID, and that didn't work. So instead of just saying we can't end COVID, learn to live with it, they've decided they need more plans, all of which are bad. So what exactly are the proposals that emerge from this very confused, discombobulated administration? They've created a catch-22 for themselves. Yes, we'll stop COVID. Also, we can't stop COVID. This creates a lot of bizarre proposals. So the great and powerful Anthony Fauci, he says that if you're unvaxxed, you should stay away from the vaxxed, and vice versa. Here's Dr. Anthony Fauci explaining.
If someone in your family isn't vaccinated, should you ask them not to show up?
Yes, I would do that. I mean, I think we're dealing with a serious enough situation right now that if there's an unvaccinated person, I would say, I'm very sorry, but not this time. Maybe another time when this is all over.
Okay, that's ridiculous. If you're vaxxed, you shouldn't be afraid of the unvaxxed. You should be done. And meanwhile, the New York Times is saying maybe schools are going to have to close. No, schools don't have to close. The kids are not vulnerable, you idiots. And yet Dana Goldstein writes for the New York Times, the dread was familiar. As news spread of the latest COVID surge fueled by the Omicron variant, parents faced a return to the drudgery of school through a screen, childcare crises, and restless young bodies penned inside for the winter. In Manhattan, Olivia Strong received an email from her son's public middle school on Monday, informing her that his cohort of eighth graders would transition to remote learning because of multiple positive virus cases. I fully expected it, she said, sighing deeply. Her hope, she added, was that a short break to reset would allow schools to reopen more safely in the new year. I mean, I'm sorry, this is insane. This is insane. Kids are not dying of this virus. They've not been dying of this virus the entire time. And yet, they continue, now they're talking about school shutdowns. Really, like all over the country, there are people who are talking about school shutdowns because of the COVID paranoid. Members of the COVID cult have decided that they are going to ensure that kids are not allowed to go to school, which, by the way, raises anxiety and depression among kids. We saw a vast amount of that over the course of the last year and a half. It means they fall behind. That way, the masking of kids is having some pretty dire effects on how kids operate in the real world. The data are in, and masking has serious downsides, which is not shocking. It turns out when you take small kids and you don't expose them to human faces, they're not that good at reading emotions. It actually screws with their IQ. It is not good. And yet this administration, at the same time, Joe Biden is saying it's not March 2020. Meanwhile, the administration is like, well, it might be March 2020. So here's Education Secretary Miguel Cardona saying that the school shutdowns in the first place were not overdone. On what basis? On what basis?
Absolutely not. And I'm not only speaking as an educator, but as a parent. Not only did we want to make sure we protected our children and our staff with information that we know now, but we didn't know then. But I think it's really important to remind folks that children can carry it, and they could spread it to their grandparents. They could spread it to family members back at a time when we didn't have vaccines. You know, we lost so many lives, and I believe that the precautions that we took were necessary.
Okay, Europe didn't shut down its schools, and nope, this is just wrong. This is wrong. I mean, the evidence that school shutdowns were a good idea, that evidence does not exist. The evidence is completely absent in every possible way. And it, by the way, if he thinks that it was bad in March 2020 and the problem is you could infect grandma, well, guess what? Omicron is way more infectious. So why wouldn't they push for school shutdowns? Meanwhile, Rochelle Walensky was questioned about masking and vaccinating kids. Because, again, kids are not dying of the virus. And also, there are there's no evidence that masking kids is useful at all. And so she's just not going to answer the question. She's just going to maintain that you have to do all of these things because this is what the cult requires.
Will you follow the science and stop relying on faulty studies and end mask mandates for children in schools?
Response.
You know, there have been study after study, not only in this country, but in other countries that have demonstrated that our layered prevention strategies, including masks in schools, are able to keep our schools safely open.
Nonsense.
We want to be able to keep our schools open, and the best way to do that is to use those layered prevention strategies, and that includes not only vaccinating our children but and our adults, but also to continue to mask, certainly in the context of this very transmissible Omicron variant.
She has not one shred of evidence. Okay, the question here was, okay, Rochelle Walensky has over and over and over cited a bad study. The Atlantic completely debunked this study. There was a study that she kept citing saying that that school children were three times more likely to get COVID if there was no mask mandate. That study is complete garbage. It does not work. It does not use comparable control groups. It is just, it's a nonsense study. The Atlantic, okay, not a right-wing organization. The Atlantic completely ripped that study apart. She's asked about it, and her response is, I'm just not even going to cite data. I'm just going to tell you what you ought to do. I mean, this is craziness. It's craziness. So they say they don't want to shut down society. They say that the vaccinated should be able to lead normal lives. Then they're like, also, you should never associate with an unvaxxed person again. Also, your kids must be vaxxed. Also, you should get boosters. Also, you should continue to wear a mask. Also, we should test the asymptomatic. Joe Biden wants 500 million tests for people to test. And people are lining up around the block in major cities around the United States, convinced by the media they must test for Omicron if they've got a sniffle. This is craziness, folks. It's nuts. Andy Slavitt, former White House senior advisor on COVID, he's now saying that we need to push for more boosters and require booster shots. We need to require booster shots, not for the most vulnerable, but for everyone. We need to require boosters. Weird. Israel has had third shots of boosters. And guess what? They still have an Omicron outbreak. In fact, that Omicron outbreak is so severe, they're now requiring fourth shots in Israel. You should get your punch card. And if you finally get to 12, then you get a free donut. It's exciting stuff happening here. In Chicago, Lori Lightfoot, the complete turd of a mayor, she was suggesting, quote, to put it simply, if you have been living vaccine free, your time is up. If you wish to live life as with the ease to do the right things you love, you must be vaxxed. This health order may pose an inconvenience to the unvaccinated. And in fact, it is inconvenient by design. She's deliberately making your life worse if you are unvaxxed. And then she says she's going to call for vax passports. The vax passports are completely useless. They're useless. Vaccinated people are passing this. New York City has had a vax passport for months at this point. In a massive outbreak in New York City. This is not designed to elicit the actual result that they supposedly want, which means that what is it actually designed to do? Maximize power and get you to signal that you've got skin in the game and that you're going to side with the cult.
Also exempt are any individuals entering an establishment for less than 10 minutes for the purpose of merely ordering food or drink. So if you're going in that coffee shop to pick up and go, you don't need to show proof. But if you're going to linger, you're going to eat that muffin, you're going to sit down with your laptop, you got to show proof of vaccination.
By the way, if you go into a coffee shop and you stand in line for 10 minutes unvaccinated, that is plenty of time to infect everybody around you. So obviously, this is not designed to elicit a response. It's designed to just pressure people. That pressure is not going to be successful. Meanwhile, Miguel Cardona, again, the education secretary, insisting that masks work. Here is the thing. N95s do work. KN95s work. You know what there is no evidence works? Cloth face masks. You know who said that? Leanna Wen, the most hawkish person on COVID it is possible to be. On CNN, she said they are facial decorations. That is correct. Your government is still providing you bad data.
The goal is to have students safely in the classrooms. We don't want quarantines. No one benefits when they're quarantined. Parents have to leave work or late notice to change their schedule. And we know masks prevent the spread of COVID-19. So when there are policies in place that prevent that, I think those policies are going to come under question because it's hurting parents' ability to be at work. And most importantly, it's hurting our students' ability to be engaged with their peers, and with their teachers where they learn best.
My God. So here's what they do. They set a stupid rule that makes no sense. And then to back up that rule, they set up another stupid rule. Here's the actual solution. Unmask the kids. Leave them the hell alone. Don't test the asymptomatic. If you're symptomatic, go home. Done. Just like the flu. Just like every other disease in the history of humankind. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Airlines canceling hundreds of flights.
Lufthansa says it had a big buffer of extra workers for the holidays, but so many pilots are calling in sick, it's had to cancel some transatlantic flights. A massive rise in sick leave, it says. Now, it can't say for sure whether COVID is responsible because it hasn't been told about the sort of illnesses. But Delta and United Airlines say they did have to cancel some Christmas Eve flights because of Omicron. United saying the spike in Omicron cases this week has had a direct impact on our flight crews and the people who run our operation. I'm Rita Foley.
Also at townhall.com, the surge in cases driven by this latest variant is a blow to hospitals, police departments, grocery stores, and other critical operations struggling to maintain staffing levels. Here's correspondent Ben Thomas with more of that story.
In New York, about 2,700 police officers were absent earlier this week, twice the number who are ill on an average day. Governments have taken steps to help ease the strain across a range of jobs considered essential, from truckers and janitors to child care providers and train conductors. Some states have called in the National Guard to help boost shorthanded hospitals and nursing homes. Guardsmen serve meals, transport patients, and do other non-clinical work. Still, nurses and others worry that continued staffing woes will put the public at greater risk and increase burnout and fatigue among their ranks. I'm Ben Thomas.
A U.S. Navy warship has paused its deployment to South America because of a virus outbreak. The USS Milwaukee staying in port at Naval Station Guantanamo Bay, where it had stopped for a scheduled port visit. That vessel has a crew of little more than 100 sailors. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is Sebastian Gorka, and I want to invite you to join me for a powerful travel opportunity that will likely become the highlight of your year. I'm headed to Israel in November 2022 for a 10-day Stand with Israel tour of the key sites and best places meant to give you an unprecedented view of a world you've likely only read or heard about. Together, we'll uncover key geopolitical insights as we unpack Israel's significance on the world stage. You'll return home empowered by the experience. If you've ever dreamt of visiting Israel, this is your opportunity. Come with me in 2022. For more information, call 855-565-5519 or book online at standwithisraeltour.com. 855-565-5519 or standwithisraeltour.com.
In Russia, Vladimir Putin has launched his first Putin-branded clothing store.
The Putin Team Store is run by the Federal Ministry of Industries and Trade and is at Moscow's main international airport. The clothing has the colors of the white, blue, and red Russian tricolor flag with the logo Putin Team Russia. The general director of the brand, Dmitry Shishkin, says he has been given the green light to launch the project by the Russian president himself. He says every detail, every textile was calibrated and honed. Only when we were 100% convinced that we could create a high-quality product, we launched the opening of the retail chain. I'm Ed Donahue.
Agents with an investigative unit of the Department of Homeland Security will wear body cameras for the first time, part of a six-month pilot program. It'll focus on the costs and benefits of using technology in federal law. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. The U.S. financial markets were closed Friday in observance of Christmas.
Stocks posted solid gains in this week's holiday-shortened trading week. The S&P closed at another record high. The Dow rose 0.6%, and the Nasdaq was up 0.8%. Technology companies and retailers did especially well. U.S. financial markets will reopen on Monday.
That is correspondent Greg Clugston in Washington. The virus is causing a lot of changes in scheduling at various schools all across America. Tulane University in New Orleans is delaying the start of its spring semester because of the latest surge in virus cases. And another private school says students must get booster shots before returning. Tulane has put the semester back 1 week to January 25th, and Loyola University keeping its January 18th start for most classes. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m., on KCNR, 1460 AM, or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time. You get me every time.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. You have a right to privacy? Defend your rights at expressvpn.com/Ben. All right, Jesse Waters became the subject of much derision and scorn and attention. Why? Well, because Jesse Waters had suggested that someone should kill Anthony Fauci. Now, I know you're saying to yourself, whoa, I didn't even, what? Jesse Waters suggested someone should assassinate Anthony Fauci? No, he didn't, actually. He didn't say anything remotely like that. But the media have this unfortunate habit of simply taking things out of context and then making them into the story. The way this works on Twitter, which is where most journalists get their news, understand that Twitter is basically just a journalist echo chamber. The way it works on Twitter is that somebody takes a clip of what somebody has said. They then attach that clip to a tweet. Then they put a paraphrase or a selective quote from the tweet in the text. Okay, and in doing so, they basically are suggesting that the quote that they are quoting is the entirety of the clip. So nobody watches the clip. They just read the text. And then they pretend that they know what they're talking about. So, for example, Jesse Waters, there's a clip of him, and the clip was trending. Here's what Jesse Waters was actually saying about Anthony Fauci.
You hold the sheet of paper up for effect. You say, I have the grant right here, Dr. Fauci, and you wave it in his face. You wave that in his face for the camera, for flair. And then you read it to him. Right? You say, you summarize. You say, it says right here, 2014, 800 grand. This is your agency. Why do you continue to lie, doctor? And you wave it. Because he's been able to dodge and weave on the ABC and NBC. No one's ever hit him in the face like this. Not even Rand Paul has been able to get in his face and point with the grant in his face. So then, he's in trouble. Now you go in for the kill shot. The kill shot, with an ambush, deadly. Because he doesn't see it coming.
Okay, so, what the left did is they took that last part. The kill shot with the ambush, that he doesn't see it coming. Boom, dead. Okay, it is perfectly obvious from the clip that Jesse Waters is using rather colorful language to describe asking Anthony Fauci a difficult question. It's perfectly obvious. And if you play the entirety of the clip, it is perfectly obvious that that is the case. It's not like he's hiding the message. He's literally talking about asking Anthony Fauci a difficult question that Anthony Fauci doesn't know the answer to. But that is not the way that the media played this. Okay, so Ron Filipkowski, a deeply disingenuous left-winger who quote-unquote tracks and reports on right-wing extremism, he tweeted out, "The incendiary, dangerous, violent rhetoric against Dr. Fauci continues at America Fest. Fox News host Jesse Waters tells them how to go after him, to harass him in public. Now you go in with the kill shot, deadly, because with an ambush, he doesn't see it coming." So this trended on Twitter. And then a CNN host, not doing basic research, like watching the clip, asks Anthony Fauci about why Jesse Waters wants to kill him. And Anthony Fauci promptly comes out and says that Jesse Waters should be fired. So this evidence is once again that that Anthony Fauci has no relationship with actual real data, because if he actually spent one moment watching the clip, he wouldn't calling for Jesse Waters' firing, because that's ridiculous. But here he was yesterday on CNN doing it anyway.
You have some guy out there saying that people should be giving me a kill shot to ambush me? I mean, what kind of craziness is there in society these days? That's awful that he said that. And he's going to go very likely unaccountable. I mean, whatever network he's on is not going to do anything for him. I mean, that's crazy. The guy should be fired on the spot.
So he should be fired on the spot for saying someone should ask you a tough question and using colorful language to describe it. Now, there are a few people in the left-wing journalistic outlets like Dave Weigel who pointed out the same thing I pointed out. But that didn't stop CNN from purveying this. And if you're on the left, you believe today that Jesse Waters called for the assassination of Dr. Fauci, which is silly. Dr. Fauci should be fired. He's garbage at his job. And again, my evolution on Dr. Fauci is pretty clear. At the beginning, I was like, okay, this guy seems like he knows kind of what he's talking about. And then as time went on, it became very clear he did not know what he was talking about and that he is a political animal. And now he should be fired because he's garbage at his job. Hey, but the media's willingness to paint Jesse Waters as an assassin in waiting is just demonstration once again that their relationship with actual truth is flimsy at best. And this is all part and parcel, of course, of a left-wing attempt to shut down everybody who's not on their side of the aisle. So they do this with virtually everything. They will say that you are a climate change denier. If you say that climate change is real, is anthropogenic, right, largely human caused, and that the best measures to be taken against it are building higher seawalls, geoengineering, attempting to develop technologies that are more fuel efficient, for example, using natural gas instead of oil, using natural gas instead of coal. Like, if you mention these things, this makes you a climate denier, and climate deniers are doing violence because climate deniers are denying the realities of the planet and leading to mass carnage and death. So they must be silenced. These same people, this is the generalized view of the left, is that if you deny what they say, this means you are anti-science. And if you are anti-science, you are killing people. And therefore, you need to be shut up. Now, of course, the entire scientific process relies on the ability of people to peer review and check whether somebody is right or wrong. So the notion of unquestioned science is an insane contention. It is contra the scientific method. But that is what people on the left are claiming. So, for example, CNN's Dr. Peter Hotez, professor and dean of tropical medicine at Baylor, he says anti-science aggression is the chief killer in the United States. Is it, though? Because I noticed it's not.
Anti-science aggression is now probably one of the leading killers of young adults in the United States. I'll say that again. Anti-science aggression, disinformation, is now one of the leading killers of Americans.
Anti-science aggression is one of the leading killers of Americans? Oh, you mean like people aren't doing what you want them to do? Again, I'd love for more people to be vaxxed also. I'm as pro-vax as anybody in the media. But anti-science aggression is the leading killer. So we must shut them down, of course. I mean, if they're actually doing that, words are violence. Speech is violence and silence is violence. So do exactly what we say, repeat exactly what we say, or you're doing violence to people and calling for violence against people. If you trust these folks to run your society, I don't know what to tell you. Alrighty, coming up, speaking of folks who should not be running our society, Anthony Blinken is paying tribute to the Biden administration's wonderful record in Afghanistan first. Let us talk about a simple fact, and that is gas is way too expensive right now, which is why you need Get Upside. Get Upside is the free app that allows you to save money every time you fill your tank at the pump. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free GetUpside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code Shapiro. Get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using GetUpside. Just download the app for free. Use promo code Shapiro to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back. There's no catch. The cashback gets added directly to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download that free GetUpside app. Use promo code Shapiro to get up to 50 cents per gallon cashback on your very first tank of gas. That is promo code Shapiro. Go get that GetUpside app right now. It's a free app at the App Store. And use promo code Shapiro. Get 50 cents per gallon cashback on your first tank. 25 cents back every gallon of gas after that. GetUpside. Go check it out right now. Meanwhile, speaking of misinformation being put out, particularly by this administration, so Tony Blinken, the Secretary of State, terrible at his job. Tony Blinken gave a speech bragging about the American response to climate change, and also bragging about for the fact that we're going to end the year for the first time in 20 years with no troops in Afghanistan. Yeah, I feel like that had some downsides there, Anthony, like some dead Americans and also a million starving Afghan children and China on the move and Russia. But big accomplishment here from Anthony Blinken.
President Biden pledged to end America's longest war. This summer, we made good on that promise, bringing Operation Resolute Support to a close and leading an international coalition to evacuate more than 120,000 people from Afghanistan. But this is also the first time in 20 years that no U.S. troops are spending the holidays in Afghanistan, and we're not sending a third generation of American soldiers to fight and die there.
We're not sending American soldiers to fight and die there. You killed more American soldiers in the last 3 weeks of this campaign than had died in, like, the previous several years. So, yeah, there's that. By the way, the fallout in Afghanistan, there's still Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan. We're like 115 days past the withdrawal. There's still Americans over there. And everything that was gained in Afghanistan has now been lost. According to the Dispatch, when Naheed Farid joined Walesa Jirga, the lower house of Afghanistan's National Assembly, in 2010 at the age of 27, she hoped her elevation to public office would show the country that women in democratic systems don't just do the electing, they are also elected. In the 11 years she served in the assembly, Farid worked on behalf of Herat to safeguard the equality of ethnic and religious minorities, support economic development projects, and push for an Afghan government-approved peace process amid ongoing fighting with the Taliban. It took only a few short days in August to dash Farid's hope that her life's work would yield lasting change to Afghanistan's women and minorities. The Taliban's swift takeover of the country's provinces, aided by Al-Qaeda-aligned fighters, reversed the nearly 20 years of progress that followed the toppling of the first Islamic Emirate in 2001. Farid said, like me, so many women traveled a very bumpy and uneven road toward introducing a new Afghanistan. Now, as we look back, it has just disappeared. All the roads we drew, all the paths, all the achievements, we just see nothing. That, of course, is not a shock. The UN World Food Program and Food and Agriculture Report, October, projected 23 million people face acute food insecurity between November 21 and March 2022. An estimated 8.7 million people are at risk of famine amid skyrocketing food prices, low crop yields, and diminished external support. So, you know, you're always hearing from the left, if we do X, if we don't solve climate change, millions will die. Literally millions will die by March because Joe Biden decided that he needed a deadline that was completely unworkable and he withdrew all support from the Afghan national government. But no one cares. These are not humanitarians. They're just fools. Also, they can brag about having brought American troops home, despite the fact that no American troops were dying in Afghanistan in combat. And yet they just keep championing it. Just keep shipping that turkey, man. I mean, they just will not. Everything is a success. Everything is a success, according to these geniuses, except for none of it is a success. It's all a giant failure because this administration is a giant, unparalleled failure. It's incredible. Alrighty, in just 1 second, we'll get to Build Back Better, speaking of failure. First, you need life insurance because you're a responsible person. Life insurance can give you peace of mind that if something happens to you, God forbid, your loved ones would have a financial cushion to pay for the stuff that they need, like rent, mortgage, loans, education costs, etc. Well, here is the thing. It's kind of hard to find a great life insurance policy. Most people do it by word of mouth. That is a terrible way to do life insurance. Instead, you should go check out Policy Genius. Policy Genius makes getting a life insurance quote very easy. First, head on over to PolicyGenius.com, answer a few questions about yourself. In minutes, you can work out how much life insurance coverage you need and compare personalized quotes to find your best price. You could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. Their licensed experts will help you understand your options, apply for a policy. The Policy Genius team works for you, not the insurance companies, and so you can trust them to offer unbiased help and advocate for you every step until you are covered. Policy Genius does not add on extra fees or sell your information to third parties. Thousands of five-star reviews across Google and Trustpilot since 2014. They've helped 30 million people shop for insurance. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com, get your free life insurance quotes, see how much you could save. That's PolicyGenius.com. Alrighty, coming up, Elon Musk has some words about the woke in a new interview. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Hi, this is Whitney from Timberline Heating and Air Conditioning. On behalf of the whole Timberline team, we wanted to take this opportunity during this special time of year as we gather to spend time with our family and friends. It is also a time to remember all of our veterans and those currently serving our country. So we join with KCNR for Operation Holiday Salute, sending peace, hope, and happiness this holiday season to all our veterans and service members from the Timberline Heating and Air family. Happy Holidays.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Room.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, Elon Musk is going off. He did an interview with the Babylon Bee in which he went off on wokeness. Musk quipped, it is true that Gavin Newsom is a U-Haul salesman of the year. But then he talked about wokeness, and he suggested, of course, that wokeness has basically destroyed the country. He said many, if not most, of the SNL episodes have become a kind of moral lecture of why we're bad human beings instead of comedy. They'll beat up on Ted Cruz 17,000 times, and you're like, okay, we get it. He says, is comedy getting at essential truth, or is there a propaganda element? When it stops trying to get to essential truth, that's humorous, you know. It's just not that funny. He says, wokeness basically wants to make comedy illegal. Trying to shut down Chappelle? That's crazy. Do we want a humorless society simply rife with condemnation and hate, basically? At its heart, wokeness is divisive, exclusionary, and hateful. It basically gives mean people a shield to be cruel and mean, armored in false virtue. This is correct. Also, he went after Elizabeth Warren. He said, if Tesla and SpaceX went bankrupt, I'd go bankrupt too immediately. I built these two companies. It was extremely difficult to build them, rewarding, but massively painful and difficult. And my impression was that you shouldn't take money off the table and de-risk things, that the captain should go down with the ship. If he had sold his stock and the companies failed, he'd have been enriched while investors suffer. He said, that doesn't seem right. That's the reason I didn't sell. Even when bankruptcy was literally weeks away, I didn't sell stock, and then the company became valuable. So Tesla and SpaceX's value is not up to me. It's up to investors. They decided Tesla was worth $1 trillion. I own 20% of the company. People don't understand. This is not a function of hoarding. I own 20% of the company. It became a valuable asset as decided by external investors. 20% of a $1 trillion valuation is $200 billion. I've said at times I think the stock price is too high, and the investors just ignore that. They keep making the price higher. My so-called wealth is not a deep mystery. It's simply what is my ownership percentage of SpaceX and Tesla. Multiply that by valuation, and that is my net worth. It is super simple. My taxes are super simple. I have no offshore accounts, no clever tax evasion or anything like that. I don't draw cash salary or any bonus from the companies at all. This is correct. Okay, Elon Musk is, I think, the most important person in the country right now, honestly. because not only is he an entrepreneur who's demonstrating that entrepreneurship is awesome and creating innovative new products, but also he's willing to say things that none of these other business owners are willing to say. Good for Elon Musk. I think he's the most important person in the country, bar none. Now, the left, meanwhile, is attacking entrepreneurship. They're celebrating the new president-elect of Chile. So Chile famously underwent an economic transformation when it embraced Milton Friedmanite economics back in the late 1980s and moved from basically being an economic backwater to being a thriving country. Now it seems as though Chile is becoming a victim of its own success. People forgot about how bad these policies were, and now they are re-embracing the bad policies. Good piece by Axel Kaiser over in the Wall Street Journal. Axel is a senior fellow at the Atlas Center for Latin America and a scholar at the Adolfo Ibáñez University. He says, Chile will be the tomb of neoliberalism, Gabriel Boric promised after being chosen as the far-left presidential candidate in July. His 56% to 44% victory over conservative José Antonio Kast in Sunday's election gives him a chance to fulfill that promise. The election was a referendum on Chile's past four decades. While Mr. Kast backed the principles and institutions that brought unprecedented levels of prosperity, his rival pledged a new order based on left-wing populism and identity politics. In his first speech as president-elect, Boric announced plans to end Chile's private pension system. So what had bankrupted Chile in the first place was a public pension system that had created enormous debt. Boric wants the country to return to pay-as-you-go model, in which government would tax active workers to pay for retirees. In its past iteration, the system was riddled with corruption and ultimately went bankrupt. If implemented, this program would become an unsustainable burden for Chilean taxpayers. It would also gradually destroy the country's capital markets, which are heavily dependent on individual savings accumulated in private pension funds. Boric also plans to try to increase the size of government by a third over 8 years. He wants to raise tax revenue by 8% of GDP. Economists across the ideological spectrum say this would destroy Chile's growth potential. Boric is questioning free trade. He wants to raise the minimum wage by more than 60% while reducing work weeks by 5 hours. In addition, he wants to increase Social Security payments required of employees by 60%, which will decimate small and medium-sized businesses. The president-elect has openly supported left-wing terrorist organizations like the Frente Patriótico Manuel Rodríguez and terrorist groups that operate in southern Chile. Boric is aligned with Chile's Communist Party. Meanwhile, you have a bunch of Hollywood idiots and left-wing economists backing this stuff. Support from Hollywood celebrities like Viggo Mortensen and Pedro Pascal, as well as endorsement by left-wing economists like Thomas Piketty, Joseph Stiglitz, and Mariana Mazzucato, added momentum to Boric's campaign. But his economic agenda would be disastrous, the cost borne by the poorest Chileans. According to Mr. Boric, in recent decades, the Chilean people have been exploited by neoliberal policies. Inequality, poverty, lack of inclusion are part of a malaise. But the facts show a different story. Marxist President Salvador Allende was overthrown by a military coup in 1973, and a group of economists called the Chicago Boys for their University of Chicago training transformed Chile's economy, making it a model for the developing world. The results were stark. Chronic inflation had peaked at over 500% in 1973. It fell to below 10% by the 90s, under 5% by the 2000s. Between 1975 and 2015, per capita income in Chile quadrupled to 23,000, the highest in Latin America. Poverty fell from 45% to 8%. Life expectancy rose from 69 to 79. Between 1990 and 2015, the income of the richest 10% grew a total of 30%. The income of the poorest 10% increased 145%. There's no guarantee that Boric won't get his way. But Boric also will attempt to change the Constitution. The election results may embolden the radical left that holds sway over Chile's constitutional convention that's expected to wrap up next July. The left may come up with a more aggressively populist draft than would have been the case if Kast had won. If Chileans approve a new constitution in next year's plebiscite, the country's fate as another failed Latin American state will be sealed. And this, again, just an imitation of what happened in Venezuela. Remember, Venezuela was a thriving democracy. And then Hugo Chavez took over and completely destroyed it to the point where people are eating dogs in Caracas. I was talking recently with a Venezuelan who had just gotten American citizenship. She grew up in Venezuela. And she said that the way that it would work is you would literally get a text from the government at 7 o'clock in the morning saying the water is going to be on from 7:15 to 7:30, so take your shower then. Does that sound like a great way of life to you? Remember, Venezuela somehow has come up with an oil shortage, despite the fact that it is one of the most oil-rich regions on planet Earth. Socialism can somehow create a shortage of ice in Antarctica. And yet, the left continues to embrace it. If you think it can't happen here, all you have to do is look down south. Latin America has a bunch of failed states that have embraced socialistic policies, failed, been rescued by neoliberalism, and then re-embraced socialism and failed. Embracing the Bernie Sanders AOC economics, embracing the Build Back Better economics of the left wing, a sure recipe for disaster. And yet, again, Americans, you know, rich Americans, have a habit of supporting this sort of stuff so long as it doesn't apply to them. Alrighty, coming up, we have some brand new data on Omicron. Shock of shocks, I hate to say I told you so, but I love saying I told you so, especially when I told you so is good news. Because I did tell you so, it turns out that Omicron, not that deadly. So why is everybody still panicking? This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage at 1665 Pine Street is having a moving sale with everything 10 to 50% off. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage is open from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. and features collectible glassware, jewelry, sports memorabilia, Tiffany lamps, antique desks and dressers, dolls and toys, clothing and hats, along with hand-carved traditional mats. They also carry duck calls and decoys, fishing gear, and much more. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage moving sale going on now with everything 10 to 50% off at 1665 Pine Street in downtown Reading.
Hi, I'm Janet McCarn, one of the owners of Orchard Nutrition Center. We are proud to be joining KCNR in sending holiday greetings and wishes to all our veterans and those currently serving our country, and to their families waiting at home. It is a huge sacrifice they make for our country, and Orchard Nutrition Center is proud to honor our veterans every day with a 10% in-store discount. Sending warm wishes from the Orchard Nutrition Center family to all our veterans today and all year long. Thank you for your service.
Premier, your friendly old change.
Many accidents are caused by worn wiper blades. Let's face it, it's just uncomfortable when you're driving in the rain, snow, fog, and everything else in between with worn blades. At Premier Oil Change, when you buy one wiper blade, you get the second blade free. Yes, now through January 15th, you buy one wiper blade and get the second one free for as little as $15.99. At Premier Oil Change, we make maintaining your car easy. There's no need for an appointment. You don't drop your car off or wait. Just pull in, enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park and our newest location in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Home of the friendly oil change.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, I've been telling you since Omicron became a thing that Omicron is not a thing. And that's because it's not a thing. When I say it's not a thing, I don't mean that some people aren't going to die from it. Some people will die from it. I also don't mean you're not going to get Omicron. I am certain that you probably will get Omicron. I will probably get Omicron. We will all probably get Omicron. I mean, it's not a crisis because it is not killing that many people by percentage. This has been the case since we first knew about it. The South African authorities who discovered it told you this. Don't listen to all the panic mongers in the political sphere or in the media, all of whom, by the way, are living their cushy lives, still going to parties. Listen to the data. Here are the data. I know this is, we have to panic. It's very important that we panic. You have to stop listening to the data because then you might not panic. And if you don't panic, you won't do what they tell you to do. So you have to keep up the panic. But according to Bloomberg, South Africans contracting COVID-19 in the current fourth wave of infections are 80% less likely to be hospitalized if they catch the Omicron variant compared with other strains, according to a study released by the National Institute for Communicable Diseases. Once admitted to the hospital, the risk of severe disease doesn't differ from other variants. Compared to Delta infections in South Africa between April and November, Omicron infections are associated with a 70% lower risk of severe disease, they said. The Omicron data was collected for the 2 months through November. So, yeah. So the idea is that if you get Omicron, you are 80% less likely, 80% less likely to be hospitalized. So, yeah, we're supposed to panic over this? I'm confused. Let's put it this way. Delta had a certain infection fatality rate. The vaccines are supposed to reduce that infection fatality rate by somewhere on the order of 90%, which makes them pretty miraculous. What if I told you that you getting Omicron would be 80% less deadly than Delta? So somewhere in the ballpark of vaccine efficacy. In other words, Delta with a vaccine is only slightly better to get than Omicron without a vaccine, according to the South African data. And yet we're supposed to panic about that? Why? Really, why? Seriously, why? And the answer is because they want the panic. Yasha Monk has a good piece over at The Atlantic talking about the fact that people are just going to be lazy. Like, Omicron is going to end the pandemic whether the left likes it or not. Yasha says, it feels like everyone I know has COVID. During the earlier stages of the pandemic, most of my friends were spared a direct brush with the virus. Perhaps they used to be more careful, or perhaps they were lucky. Whatever the reason, their good fortune has now run out. Seven close friends recently told me they tested positive. Several strongly suspect they have COVID, but they're unable to get their hands on a test. Thankfully, everyone has decidedly mild symptoms. The pattern among my circle of friends fits with what's unfolding in South Africa, where the coronavirus's new Omicron variant was first identified. The number of cases in the country shot up quickly. The number of deaths has so far increased much, much more gradually, possibly indicating Omicron is more contagious but less severe. Muddy early data mean, for now, the immediate epidemiological future is uncertain. We could be in for a few months of relatively mild inconvenience before Omicron goes out with a whimper. Or we could be about to experience another exponential rise in hospitalizations and death. Yet I wager that whatever the course Omicron takes, we're about to experience the end of the pandemic as a social phenomenon. That is because everybody is bored and everybody is tired and we are sick of this crap. One useful social scientific marker, says Yasha, is when people have gotten used to living with the ongoing presence of a particular pathogen. By that definition, the massive surge of Omicron infections currently coursing through scores of developed countries without eliciting more than a half-hearted response marks the end of the pandemic. This is correct. What is actually happening right now is that the people who are super panicked are trying to panic everybody else and bully you into doing stupid nonsense. Don't be panicked. Don't be bullied into doing stupid nonsense. You don't need to mask your kids. You don't need to take your kids out of school. You don't need to shut down the schools. You don't need to test the asymptomatic. All of this is garbage. It is all stupid garbage. Pushed by people who are not even going to cite you the data, because if they cited you the data, you would realize it's stupid garbage. It's just amazing to me that people are still listening to these folks. I don't understand. Have they been good at this? Did I miss the part where they were good at this in some way? Okay, in just one second, we'll get to the continued failure of the Democratic Party to realize that the Biden administration's radical policymaking, that time has passed. It is over. We'll get to that in just one moment first. Let us talk about a simple fact, and that is gas is way too expensive right now, which is why you need Get Upside. Get Upside is the free app that allows you to save money every time you fill your tank at the pump. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code Shapiro. Get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free. Use promo code Shapiro to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back. There's no catch. The cash back gets added directly to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download that free Get Upside app. Use promo code Shapiro to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your very first tank of gas. That is promo code Shapiro. Go get that Get Upside app right now. It's a free app at the App Store. And use promo code Shapiro. Get 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. 25 cents back every gallon of gas after that. Get Upside. Go check it out right now. All right. Meanwhile, the left is just not getting over Joe Manchin. According to the Washington Post, liberals are furious. Well, color me scared. Angry liberals? What are they going to do? Throw their soy at me? Their hopes of enacting an expansive domestic policy bill focused on healthcare, education, and climate change have been dashed. They blame Senator Joe Manchin, arguing he failed to keep his word to negotiate in good faith with the White House. And they are in no mood at the moment to think about scaling back their policy ambitions. Who gives a flying F? Really? They're in no mood to scale back their policy ambitions. Their policy demands, they have no power. Why would I possibly care about this? It's like me as a teenager. I'm in no mood to scale back my demands to date Scarlett Johansson. I'm not scaling that back. I was unaware that that was an option, good sir. Like, you're not getting what you want, and so you won't scale back your demands. Why do we have to acquiesce to what members of another party think we should be doing? What so-called moderates think we should be doing? What so-called independents think we should be doing? All of that represents a status quo, said Representative Jamal Bowman. Well, the reason that you should acquiesce is because you have no path to victory. That's why you need to acquiesce, you idiot. Here's Jamal Bowman, clinical moron, speaking on CNN.
His special interests, his donors, and lobbyists were cutting the bill for several months because they did not want this bill to pass. Why? Because this bill disproportionately supports people of color. It supports people of color. It supports women. It supports children. It supports those who are poor and lifts them out of poverty. Why wouldn't Manchin want to support that when this would benefit West Virginia tremendously?
So Jamal Bowman is a representative from New York. My favorite thing is listening to representatives from the bluest areas of New York lecture Joe Manchin about how he's disadvantaging his own constituents. If I have to take Jamal Bowman in a election in West Virginia, he loses 1,000,000% of the vote. Same thing with AOC. So it is amusing to watch these idiots beat their heads against the wall, claiming that if they just shout loud enough at Joe Manchin and remind him that he is a racist, that he will do what they want. It's all poser nonsense. They don't want to accomplish anything. They want to yell at things. Meanwhile, speaking of yelling at things, Joe Biden, more and more often during his pressers, he just yells randomly at objects. Apparently, the Biden family has a brand new puppy. So, Godspeed, puppy. And try to avoid the naked old man jumping out of the shower and trying to grab your tail. That is how Joe Biden broke his foot earlier this year. Anyway, here is Joe Biden yelling at the moon.
You strip away all the dignity of a parent looking at their child. I'm not joking about this. Imagine being a parent looking at a child, and you can't afford You have no house to borrow against. You have no savings. It's wrong. But all the things in that bill are going to reduce prices and costs for middle class and working class people. Well, bring down all those costs across the board from child care to a child care tax credit. But I'm not supposed to be having this press conference, right?
Okay, so just to go through that clip right there, three things happened in that clip. One, random yelling at the moon. Imagine those children. The children. And then sincere. Quick transition from, and the moon. Two, the moon. Guys, the moon. And then, I'm not even supposed to be here. Where am I? Can someone lead me out? I have to poop. So, you're president of the United States. Da-dum-ba-da-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum. Yeah, these people are our great leaders. Meanwhile, Nancy Pelosi trying to browbeat Joe Manchin into supporting a package he ain't going to support. Here was Nancy Pelosi standing outside with a bunch of people who are masked outside talking about how Joe Manchin, he cares about the country enough to do what Nancy Pelosi wants, except he's not going to.
I have confidence that Senator Manchin cares about our country and that at some point, very soon, we can take up the legislation.
At some point very soon, nope. I'm sorry to break it to you, but this is not a thing that is going to happen. But it's fun to watch these delusional children try to figure out why what they want to happen definitely will happen, even though it's definitely not going to happen. It is fun to watch. And watching them try to spin around in circles to get to Joe Manchin, it's not dead. Can we please revive this thing? We can revise this thing. We can do it. No, you can't. It's over. Doesn't matter. Schumer is vowing a floor vote on Joe Biden's $1.7 trillion mega bill next month. So he's just going to throw it up there for a vote and then hope that Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema change their minds. Okay, well, then he'll go down to humiliating defeat. Senate Democrats convene virtually on the longest night of the year, according to Politico, for the first time since Joe Manchin said over the weekend he would not be supporting Joe Biden's $1.7 trillion climate and social policy plan in its current form. It's not $1.7 trillion, it's like five. During the call, Schumer vowed to press ahead with the hope of eventually shaping a deal all 50 members of the Democratic caucus can support. I know we're all frustrated at this outcome, said Schumer. However, we are not giving up on Build Back Better, period. We won't stop working on it until we pass a bill. Manchin participated in the virtual caucus call and addressed members at the beginning of the discussion. He said he's held the same positions on the social spending package for 5 months and that he is not going to fall for this trick where he just makes some accounting gimmick changes and then magically everything is better. Manchin called for a greater focus on tax rates. Sam Runyon, a spokesperson for Manchin, said he had an honest conversation with his colleagues for whom he has a great deal of respect. In addition to discussing the next steps on the social spending bill, Schumer said that if Republicans block election reform legislation, the Senate will hold a vote on rules changes designed to weaken the filibuster. But Manchin and Sinema aren't going to support that either. So the entire Chuck Schumer plan is to just yell at Joe Manchin. It's funny how the entire left's agenda is now just yelling at people. You won't get vaxxed. What if we yell at you really loud? You guys don't want to spend trillions of dollars we don't need to spend? What if we just yell at you? Prices are up at the supermarket. Well, we could yell at you. Here's the thing, guys. You're not my parents. You're not my wife. I don't care if you yell at me. In fact, I find it rather amusing that you think that if you yell at me, I'm going to change my mind. And I have a feeling Joe Manchin on his houseboat feels the same way. Like Joe Manchin goes home to West Virginia and they're going to throw like a parade in his honor for not doing what Joe Biden wants. Like, but if we yell at Joe Manchin, that will certainly change things. Well, I guess when you act like small children and get your way from the media, you might think that this sort of thing works with real humans, but it typically does not. According to the Washington Post, whether liberals' public pronouncements that they are done scaling back their priorities is just peak talking or a firm decision will be just as key to what the party can accomplish as whether Manchin comes back to the negotiating table. Some, like Jamal Bowman, said they saw Manchin's announcement coming back in November when House leaders and Biden pushed House Democrats to enact the infrastructure bill. Bowman and a handful of other liberals voted against the spending, arguing it was their only leverage for keeping people like Manchin at the table. Now they're saying, I told you so. AOC said no one can really be promised a Manchin vote. I still love that they are naive enough to believe that if they had held up the infrastructure plan, then Joe Manchin would have voted for Build Back Better. Mm-hmm. Well, the problem for the Democrats is that that group of voters is enough to make up the margin for any bill. So they can hold up anything they want at this point, which is just super duper amusing. And I won't stop being amused by it because it's funny. Alrighty, coming up, we'll be getting to the model COVID citizen, the citizen that the left would love to see all of you be. We'll get to that in just one moment. First, I wanted to let you know, if you really enjoy The Ben Shapiro Show and The Daily Wire, we have a bunch of other shows over at DailyWire.com. Let Michael Knowles tell you about his show.
Hey, Michael Knowles here. As you might expect, I am the host of The Michael Knowles Show. Conservative pessimists say the world can't get any worse. Conservative optimists say it certainly can. Luckily, there is hope and a whole lot of fun to be had at the left's expense. Come check out The Michael Knowles Show at The Daily Wire. You can listen to the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, YouTube, or Facebook. It is all over the place. You can watch the full show ad-free on DailyWire.com. And don't miss exclusive videos we make on my YouTube channel, such as my woke commercial reviews and the Chaz Funniest Home Videos. We break down everything from Drag Queen Story Hour to the Paris Climate Agreement. So come on over and check out The Michael Knowles Show wherever you get your podcasts. Every Monday through Friday. See you there.
You know, I pretend that I really hate Michael, but really, it's not hatred. It's more just a strong and intense dislike. You heard it here first, gang. Make sure to check out The Michael Knowles Show. Alrighty, coming up, you know, the left would like all of us to behave in completely panicked, data-free fashion. And we found someone online who's behaving this way. And honestly, she's a model to all of us. We need to bring her to the White House. She deserves a Medal of Honor for the great contribution she has made to saving mankind. We'll bring you all the things that she is doing in order to protect herself from Omicron in just one second. Perhaps we can all imitate her way of life and be safer and happier. Or maybe she's crazy. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Hello, I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. It's that time of year again when family and friends gather together to celebrate the holidays. It's also a time to give thanks to Shasta County's 13,000 servicemen and women and their families. Thank you, KCNR, for supporting veterans in our community. Peace, hope, and joy to all this holiday season.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros in downtown Reading has the perfect gift this holiday season. Car wash coupons, or choose from four different car wash packages. Car washes start at just $9, or you can choose from a variety of car wash packages, Buy 5 car wash packages and get one free, or buy 10 and get 3 free. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, with Omicron panic in the air, it's time to celebrate an Omicron hero. There's a woman who went on Twitter, this went viral, to brag about how she was flying. She was flying, but she was keeping herself safe, and she had some unique methods for ensuring her own safety from Omicron. Okay, so this was the model citizen on Twitter. I just have to show you this model citizen. It's a person named Dana Not Scully, at Telefeminism. Hey, do you have a picture of this human? There should be a picture of this human attached to the tweet. Yes, there it is. All right, so if you can't see this, this is why you should subscribe and watch the video. This person describes flying, quote, "I'm flying today, but I'm not effing around with Omicron. Check, Pfizer times 3. Check, negative rapid test. Check, natural immunity. Check, N95 sealed to my face with surgical tape. Check, secondary mask for displaying opinions. Check face shield. Check vinyl gloves. Check touchscreen gloves. Check bleep ton of Xanax." So, this is the model citizen. This person should win the Medal of Honor. This person is the most important person in America. This person understands Omicron. This person understands how you're supposed to protect yourself. Just to repeat, you're supposed to triple vax. You're supposed to test negative. You've already had COVID, which means you have natural immunity, but you triple vaxxed anyway. Then you're not only supposed to wear an N95, you're supposed to seal the N95 to your face using surgical tape. But that's not enough. The real key, I think, the real key in this description is the secondary mask for displaying your opinions. That's the key. Because if you wear a mask that says vote on it, which is what this mask says, then Omicron definitely will leave you alone. I mean, we learned this during BLM last year, right? I mean, during BLM, we learned that you could go ahead and twerk for George Floyd without a mask, and you would never be hit by the variant, ever. You would never be hit by the original variant or by anything. In fact, you're immune from death so long as you are twerking for George Floyd. This is what we learned from our scientific community last year. So she's right. In fact, she's so right, she could dismiss all the rest of the things she wouldn't need. As long as she had a cloth face mask that said vote on it, she'd be done. She'd be good to go. She also has a face shield, vinyl gloves, touchscreen gloves, and bleep ton of Xanax. Yeah, the Xanax, I think, is probably the key ingredient here. I think that's most likely the key ingredient. We have decided to panic ourselves over a variant that is essentially the common cold for the vast majority of people who get it. We have decided to destroy the lives of our children on the shoals of COVID panic because our government actors lied to us about what they could do and what they couldn't do. That is what they have done. It is insane, but I guess they feel better about themselves ruining lives. By the way, the COVID hospitalizations in South Africa, just going to point this out, they're falling. They're falling already. They lasted for 5 seconds and then they fell. And to pretend that the data is not in is ridiculous. The data are in. Eric Topol, okay, who is not a wild right winger, he tweeted out a study that the South African preprint data says 70% reduction in illness severity compared with Delta and prior variants. 70%. My guess is probably higher than that. Okay, but they're going to continue. They must continue because, again, it's about the faith. They're going to make a bunch of moves that restrict your life because the more you restrict your life, the more virtuous you are. The more restricted you are, the more virtuous you are. Because this is a religious practice at this point. That's all this is. It is a religious practice. And so you must listen to the doddering old fool in the White House telling you a bunch of contradictory things. You must listen to Rochelle Walensky when she says you need to mask your kids. You must listen to Andy Slavin when he says you have to boost the unborn. And you have to do all of these things despite the fact that there are countervailing arguments. And by the way, on boosters, Marty McCary, a friend of the show, from Johns Hopkins, he says it's actually dangerous to push boosters for teens. He says booster mandates for healthy young people, which some colleges are imposing, will cause medical harm for the sake of transient reductions in mild and asymptomatic infections. In a study of 438,000 males, 16 to 24, 56 developed myocarditis after their second Pfizer dose. Most cases were mild, but in the broader group of 136 people who developed myocarditis, 7 had a complicated course, 1 22-year-old died. Moderna's vaccine carries an even higher rate of heart complications, which is why some European countries have restricted it for people under 30. But in the United States, the FDA and CDC are indiscriminately pushing boosters for all young people. Again, all of this is being done in the absence of real data suggesting that 18-year-olds need a booster in the first place. But once again, I will just repeat this until I'm blue in the face. The goal is not to stop Omicron, because you can't. The goal is not even to prevent death from Omicron, because whatever death is going to happen is going to happen. The goal is to maintain the lie that they are in control, and the only reason we have failed to stop this is because of your lack of fealty. They are very disappointed in your lack of faith. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. United States will lift travel restrictions on 8 countries in southern Africa.
The travel bans were imposed in hopes of blunting the spread of the Omicron variant of COVID-19. The White House says the temporary bans bought scientists the time they needed to study the new virus variant first discovered in South Africa. The World Health Organization and leaders in southern Africa criticized the travel ban as ineffective. The ban had barred entry to all non-U.S. citizens who had been in South Africa, Botswana, Namibia, Mozambique, and a number of other countries in the region. It will be lifted now on New Year's Eve. Bob Agnew reporting.
New York judge ordering the New York Times to relinquish confidential legal memos it obtained between conservative group Project Veritas and its lawyer. State Supreme Court Justice Charles D. Wood upheld his earlier order preventing the Times from further publishing the memos written by attorney Benjamin Barr. Also at townhall.com, West Virginia Democratic Senator Joe Manchin receiving a lot of attention for his role in President Biden's Build Back Better spending plan. Arkansas GOP Senator Tom Cotton tells the Salem Radio Network that Manchin has been very patient with his Democratic colleagues.
Joe Manchin has every right to be very ticked off. I think, if anything, Senator Manchin has shown quite a degree of restraint in dealing with the radical, immoderate, intemperate left in his party, starting with the senior White House staff and going on to his fellow senators and representatives.
Huge fire has destroyed a crowded ferry in Bangladesh. Authorities now say at least 39 people have been killed, more than 70 others injured. Rescue teams still searching for possible survivors. The ferry had 800 passengers. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Cancer. So many lives are touched by cancer. In fact, 1 in 2 men and 1 in 3 women will be diagnosed with cancer. At the American Cancer Society, we're on a mission to free the world from cancer. It's a big mission, driven by little things like a ride to treatment, a free place to stay, a 24/7 helpline. But these little things are really the big things, because to a cancer patient and their family, they're everything. And every day we reach thousands of cancer patients who so desperately need these services. But we need your help to get these critical services to more people and families in need this holiday season. Go to cancer.org and join the fight against cancer. It takes just minutes to donate and help provide essential support to cancer patients and their families. Don't wait. More than 1 in 3 people will be diagnosed with cancer. Go to cancer.org right now and make a difference. Go to cancer.org.
Cyprus moved to open up its power generation market and boost the share of renewable sources and energy, about to face its first big test.
Cypriot lawmakers in October approved a law that aimed to decouple the power grid operator from the state-run electricity authority of Cyprus and enable private power generation companies to supply homes and businesses. The decoupling was among reforms Cyprus pledged under its National Recovery and Resilience Plan that European leaders approved in July. The European Commission says it'll make its formal assessment when the Cypriot government seeks EU funding next year.
Correspondent Jeremy House. Vice President Kamala Harris' office says she has tested negative for the virus after close contact earlier in the week with an aide who later tested positive. The vice president was tested again on Wednesday and Friday and was negative each time. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com.
U.S. financial markets closed on Friday in observance of Christmas.
Stocks posted solid gains in this week's holiday-shortened trading week. The S&P closed at another record high. The Dow rose 0.6%, and the Nasdaq was up 0.8%. Technology companies and retailers did especially well.
That's correspondent Greg Cluxton. The surge in coronavirus cases driven by the new Omicron variant is the latest blow to hospitals, supermarkets, and other critical operations struggling to maintain staffing levels. COVID-19 absences among workers at London hospitals tripled this month, and nearly 10% of the city's firefighters were out sick. In New York, about twice as many police officers took sick time this week than normal. Some U.S. states have called in the National Guard to help boost shorthanded hospitals. With business, I'm John Scott.
And more on these stories at townhall.com.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Bodies. The auto repair industry is ever-changing, just like the automobile. Collision repair on today's vehicles requires an extensive investment in diagnostic equipment and training. The ability to scan the safety and electronic control systems after a collision is imperative. Coachmaster has made these investments. We have the technology. You can be assured that after a Coachmaster repair, your vehicle will be back to pre-loss condition. Upon delivery, your vehicle will be washed, vacuumed, and disinfected.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
With the coming of the holiday season, we would like to thank all of our customers, old and new, for trusting Coachmaster to take care of all of your collision repair needs. Our team would like to wish the community Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And Santa, we don't repair sleighs, so be careful. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Hey, hey, welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. You have a right to privacy. Defend your rights at expressvpn.com/Ben. Alrighty. There's an article rocketing around the internet. It was from New York Magazine. The cover of New York Magazine featured a quote unquote trans man, meaning a biological woman who believes that she is a man, whose new name is Gabrielle Mack. Okay. Gabrielle or Gabriel Mack. The original name of this human was in fact Mack McClellan. But then this woman decided that she is, in fact, some sort of trans man and therefore had to appear on the cover of New York Magazine in her underwear. I say her because I only use biological pronouns on this show. In her underwear, after having a breast removal surgery and after having had a surgery to essentially carve a fake penis out of her leg and then attach it to herself. This is what our society has become. In one photo, this is what our society has become. When radical subjectivism rules the roost and reality is forced to bow before the altar of radical subjectivism, what you end up with is effectively bodily mutilation. There's no way to look at this photo and not see a form of bodily mutilation. This is literally a person who has had flesh from her leg removed in order to carve out a fake genitalia and then say that she has now become a man. By the way, this person also says that she has retained her original female genitals in terms of her vagina. So she still has a biological vagina and now has added on a fake penis through a phalloplasty. And I say fake penis because this is not a naturally grown thing, shall we say. It is carved out of human flesh. Okay. Now, I don't mean to be extremely graphic, but that's the entire point of the article. The entire point of the article from New York Magazine is to be as extremely graphic as possible, which is why the photo is on the cover of New York Magazine. And that's why you have extremely graphic photos of what the leg looks like after the removal of the flesh. And you are supposed to just mirror the perspective of the article. You're supposed to mirror the idea that this person used to be a woman and is now a man. So over the weekend, I was rereading 1984. And the truth is that 1984, while it is a morality play about the Stalinesque Soviet regime, in reality, it's a little bit deeper than that. What it really is about how you control minds. It's about thought crime and doublethink and mind control. That's how people's minds are captured and then used against them. And this is what we are in the midst of culturally in the United States. You are not allowed the few centimeters in your brain that allow you a level of thought freedom. That would be to commit a thought crime. If you right now are thinking that this person obviously suffers from a mental disorder, and I will bring you more information about this person in just a moment, that this person obviously suffers from a mental disorder and that brutal surgeries are very unlikely to represent a solution to that mental disorder. If you think that, then this means that you are a vicious, terrible person. What's more, if you go even further and you say this person remains a biological woman with a diagnosable mental disorder, if you say that, then this means that you're a bigot. Now, to most people, this just sounds like common sense because, as a rule, if you go on the cover of a magazine wearing nothing but your underwear to show the scars from your top surgery and from your addition of a penis through phalloplasty by carving flesh from your leg, this is not a great sign of a mentally well-ordered person. It just isn't. Okay, but if you say that, then this means that you are somehow you're transphobic, you're heteronormative, you're cis shit, right? All of this nonsense. So Orwell writes in 1984, and this is really the essence of 1984, says doublethink lies at the very heart of the regime, since the essential act of the party is to use conscious deception while retaining the firmness of purpose that goes with complete honesty. To tell deliberate lies while genuinely believing in them, to forget any fact that has become inconvenient, and then when it becomes necessary again to draw it back from oblivion for just so long as it is needed, to deny the existence of objective reality and all the while to take account of the reality which one denies. All this is indispensably necessary. This is correct. And this is the culture that we have now been creating for ourselves. Orwell, writing about this in the context of Soviet mind control, essentially, he says, in the end, the party would announce that 2 and 2 made 5, and you would have to believe it. It was inevitable that they should make that claim sooner or later. The logic of their position demanded it. Not merely the validity of experience, but the very existence of external reality was tacitly denied by their philosophy. The heresy of heresies was common sense. And what was terrifying was not that they would kill you for thinking otherwise, but that they might be right. For after all, how do we know that 2 and 2 make 4? Or that the force of gravity works? Or that the past is unchangeable? If both the past and the external world exist only in the mind, and if the mind itself is controllable, what then? In order to reach utopia, you wonder why this is part of a left-wing agenda. Because really, what does this have to do with redistribution of income, per se? What does this have to do with the structures of the economy? What does this have to do even with fairness and equity? What does it have to do with any of this stuff? What do bizarre claims about the nature of gender that are completely anti-biological and anti-common sense, what does that have to do with any of this? And the answer is, it all lies in the root belief that man is entirely malleable and that reality exists entirely in the mind. So if we just shift how we think about reality, a man can be a woman can be a man. All human beings can be remolded and shaped into utopian forms of themselves, widgets that we can play with from the top down to create a better society. That is how this particularly bizarre and radical perspective on gender fits into the broader left-wing rubric. Because once you have subjected yourself to relentless subjectivism, once you have decided that radical subjectivism is the truth about life, that reality does not exist out here, there's no such thing as reality, there are no such things as rules of biology do not exist, rules of physics do not exist, rules of history do not, nothing exists. The only thing that exists is in your mind, and that's the only thing that matters, because it grants you a sense of authenticity. Once you believe that, you can accomplish anything in this view. That is why this is important. Not because this particular person doing what this person wishes to do with their life, I disagree with the decisions. I don't think this is going to alleviate anything. I think the surgeons who perform these sorts of surgeries are committing a grave sin against humanity, frankly. But adults are adults in a free country. Hey, that said, the baseline notion that the rest of society has to accept as truth something that is obviously a lie is extraordinarily dangerous, and it ties into a broader belief system that says that lies can become the truth so long as those lies are convenient and necessary for the pursuit of utopia. In a second, I'm going to get to the story of this person because I've sort of alluded to it, but the story really does tell the entire tale. We'll get to that in just one moment. First, I wanted to let you know, if you really enjoy The Ben Shapiro Show and The Daily Wire, we have a bunch of other shows over at DailyWire.com. Let Michael Knowles tell you about his show.
Hey, Michael Knowles here. As you might expect, I am the host of The Michael Knowles Show. Conservative pessimists say the world can't get any worse. Conservative optimists say it certainly can. Luckily, there is hope and a whole lot of fun to be had at the left's expense. Come check out The Michael Knowles Show at The Daily Wire. You can listen to the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, YouTube, or Facebook. It is all over the place. You can watch the full show ad-free on DailyWire.com. And don't miss exclusive videos we make on my YouTube channel, such as my woke commercial reviews and the Chaz Funniest Home Videos. We break down everything from Drag Queen Story Hour to the Paris Climate Agreement. So come on over and check out The Michael Knowles Show wherever you get your podcasts. Every Monday through Friday. See you there.
You know, I pretend that I really hate Michael, but it really, it's not hatred. It's more just a strong and intense dislike. You heard it here first, gang. Make sure to check out The Michael Knowles Show. Okay, so before we get to the story, the details of the story, I just want to point out that the typical left-wing response to anybody even commenting on this is, why do you care? I care because you put this on the cover of a major national magazine. That's why I care, because you made this a national story. A person making what I believe to be a bad decision for themselves is not a national news story. You made it a national news story. And the reason you did so is specifically so that when we comment on it, when we notice that you are fighting against common sense and, frankly, common decency, when we notice that you are lying to people about the malleability of human sex, when we notice that, you call us bigots. And you say, why are you even noticing? Why do you notice? Why do you notice? We're noticing because you have made this the front line of the culture war. And you want to dictate this to my children. You want to tell my kids that your view of gender and sex is the real view of gender and sex. And you want to call anybody who disagrees a bigot. In other words, this is bait. But if you don't take the bait, then they win. Because if you don't take the bait, then the assumption is that what they are saying has some relation to reality or decency, and it has no relation to either. And so, honestly, I feel terrible for this human being. The reason I feel terrible for this human being is this person obviously has serious problems. Here is a story from July 5th, 2011. Journalist stages her own rape to cure trauma of witnessing sex attack on woman in Haiti. For journalist Mac McClelland, you'll notice that Gabriel Mack and Mac McClelland are the same human. For journalist Mac McClelland, it gripped her body and her mind in such a severe way, she had to simulate a violent rape to get over it. The Mother Jones civil rights reporter was on a job in Haiti in the aftermath of the 2010 earthquake when she met a woman she called Sybil, who had been raped at gunpoint and brutally mutilated by a gang of men. After Ms. McClelland, 31, accompanied her to the hospital, where the surgeon who performed a reconstructive surgery on her told her she was a slut and deserved what she got, they were on their way back in a taxi when Sybil saw one of the men who raped her. Ms. McClelland recalls she went into a full paroxysm, wailing and flailing in terror, screaming with her eyes rolling in abject terror. It was at that point that something snapped in Ms. McClelland, too. Despite the fact that she had seen the impact of sexual violence all around the globe, having reported from the Congo and Burma, this incident was more than she could take. According to ABC, she became progressively enveloped in the classic symptoms of post-traumatic stress. Avoidance of feelings, flashbacks, recurrent thoughts that triggered crying spells. She couldn't get out of bed in the morning and had nightmares and daymares about rape. The 31-year-old went to see a therapist in her home of San Francisco, and despite getting treatment for PTSD, she told her therapist all she wanted to do was have incredibly violent sex. Her therapist suggested it was a good idea and told her to find someone who she trusted enough to do it. Ms. McClelland believed it was this staged violent rape with a close friend that cured her. She even wrote an article about it for the online magazine Good. In it, she explains how her sexual partner mercilessly pinned her, beat her about the head, and brutally violated her. She wrote about the rape, "I did not enjoy it in a way a person getting screwed normally would. But as it became clear that I could endure it, I started to take deeper breaths, and my mind stayed there, stayed present even when it became painful, even when he smothered me with a pillow, not to asphyxiate me, but so that he didn't break my jaw when he drew his elbow back and slammed his fist into my face 2, 3, 4 times. My body felt devastated but relieved. I lost but survived. After he climbed off me, he gathered me up in his arms. I broke into 1,000 pieces on his chest, sobbing so hard my ribs felt like they were coming loose." She told ABC, "I was not crazy. It was a way for me to deal in a sort of simulated but controlled situation. It was so awful, and the body doesn't understand when it's in a fight." So this is a person who was not raped, had PTSD from not her rape, but from witnessing another person's response to a rape, and had a friend simulate rape in which she was beaten. Okay, so this is the person that we are talking about. Does this sound like a mentally ordered person to you, a well-ordered person to you? And this is not to rip on people who have mental disorders. There are people in my family with mental disorders. My grandfather, I've talked about it openly, was a manic depressive who was suicidal from time to time. Okay, so this is not to mock the mentally disordered. This is to point out that when a society treats mental disorders as perfectly healthy behavior, you incentivize mental disorders. And by the way, you don't heal anybody. You don't make anybody better. In fact, in many cases, you make them worse. When you humor mental disorder, you are not making the mental disorder better. My grandfather, who was manic depressive, as I mentioned, he had the experience of believing that the radio was talking to him, telling him to kill himself. And for years, my grandmother, who just passed away, my grandmother would lie in bed and tie her foot to his because she knew that if he got up in the middle of the night, he might try to kill himself with a razor. That is what mental disorders are. To pretend that the radio actually was talking to him, and we just needed to humor that, would have been cruelty. It wasn't until he got on lithium decades later that he actually began to live a normal life. And treating people who are mentally disordered as though that is a form of mental order and that it's only society that has done something wrong is cruel and nasty. And then to dictate to the rest of the world that the rest of the world is supposed to mirror this perspective is insane, and it promotes insanity. Okay, and this brings us to the New York Magazine cover piece, My Penis Myself. I didn't need a penis to be a man, but I needed one to be me. Well, actually, it turns out you're not a man. It turns out you're a biological woman with, as evidenced by your own coverage of the issues, some problems. And I feel, honest to God, I feel terrible for this person. But to pretend that this person is just a mentally healthy man is ridiculous on every possible level that is possible for it. It makes a mockery of the word ridiculous to suggest this is ridiculous. We'll get to more of this in just one. And by the way, demanding that all of us acquiesce and approve and cheer and putting it on the cover of magazines. Hey, this is 1984 doublethink. That is what this is. We're going to get to more of this in just one second. First, if you really enjoy The Ben Shapiro Show and The Daily Wire, we have a bunch of other shows over at DailyWire.com. Let Matt Walsh tell you about his show.
Hey, this is Matt Walsh, host of The Matt Walsh Show. Most of us, you know, don't wake up in the morning thinking about what the bureaucrats in D.C. are up to. At least I don't. Our concerns are more immediate than that, which is why I focus on social issues, culture, family, faith, even sometimes pop culture. Political issues are important, but I don't think they're the most important thing or the most entertaining thing, frankly. So if you're looking for a conservative show that goes beyond politics and brings you stories the mainstream media tries to ignore, come check out The Matt Walsh Show, Monday through Friday, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube, Facebook, anywhere you go for podcasts, I'm there. Plus, if you check it out on DailyWire.com, you can watch the entire show ad-free. The Matt Walsh Show. Check it out. I'll see you there.
If you're looking for cynicism, depression, and also hilarity, Matt is the place to go. Make sure you check out Matt's show. Well, all of this brings us to the actual cover story from New York Magazine. Man, wait till you hear it. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Save room for a wish this month at Black Bear Diner, where they partnered with Make-A-Wish to help grant life-changing wishes for children with critical illnesses in our community. They're donating $1 from the purchase of every delicious slice of red velvet cake, candy cane chocolate cream pie, and peppermint cheesecake now through the end of the month. Get on over to Black Bear Diner because wishes need stars like you. Open daily, including Christmas Eve and day. 2605 Hilltop Drive.
Black Bear Diner.
Greetings to my fellow veterans. This is Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of Veterans Affairs for the state of California. I'm a Korean vet, and it's my honor to serve in the U.S. Army as a new immigrant to this great country. Thank you for your service. It will not be forgotten. It should be remembered that freedom is not free. It has been secured by brave sacrifice that all members of our military and their families have given since the beginning of a great, wonderful nation. Thank you for your service.
This holiday season, begin a whole new tradition of lights and festivities for the entire family at Redding Garden of Lights. Taking place November 19th through December 31st at Turtle Bay's Locano Botanical Gardens by the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California. Explore 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens featuring over 1 million lights, plus holiday-themed food, drinks, music, and so much more. Redding Garden of Lights, November 19th through December 31st, presented by Mercy Medical Center Redding. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hello, I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. It's that time of year again when family and friends gather together to celebrate the holidays. It's also a time to give thanks to Shasta County's 13,000 servicemen and women and their families. Thank you, KCNR, for supporting veterans in our community. Peace, hope, and joy to all this holiday season.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Save room for a wish this month at Black Bear Diner, where they partnered with Make-A-Wish to help grant life-changing wishes for children with critical illnesses in our community. They're donating $1 from the purchase of every delicious slice of red velvet cake, candy cane chocolate cream pie, and peppermint cheesecake now through the end of the month. Get on over to Black Bear Diner because wishes need stars like you. Open daily, including Christmas Eve and day. 2605 Hilltop Drive.
Black Bear Diner.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So New York Magazine has decided to feature a quote-unquote trans man on its cover, meaning a woman who believes she is a man because she has gotten a bunch of surgeries. Okay, so this brings us to the actual cover story from New York Magazine. On the day I heard that my penis would be huge, I sobbed. In the car outside the doctor's office afterward, I bent my torso in half and bawled, my face against the dashboard, my boyfriend petting my back to console me but confused. Isn't it good news that they can do it, like, at all? And obviously, yes, it was. Growing up without one, I thought or maybe convinced myself that mine would grow in later, to the extent that when I see a woman in tight pants, I still often instinctively think, where is her penis? But my period at 12 aptly, agonizingly bled to death that increasingly implausible dream of reconciling with life, with God, that he wouldn't make me like this and leave me like this forever. So the news 28 years later that the agony was going to be over, abundantly over, was a bit much to take in. I fixated on the information that a pert little average flaccid package was not an option for me. When I asked the surgeon how big my impending penis was going to be, he could only guess, pointing to the reusable water bottle in my hand, a metal cylinder 9 inches in circumference, smaller than that. I was so different from everybody else. I had always been so different. Phalloplasty in general, it was clear, was hard for people to accept. Well, I will love you no matter what, sweetie, a cis female best friend of mine said when I told her I was transitioning years before, as long as you don't get a dick. One flatly demanded, don't get a dick. It was another transmasculine person I used to know said, disgusting, insane to want or to have a surgeon make a sensate phallus out of your arm or leg or somewhere and Frankenstitch it to your body, to go so far out of your way to opt into a tool, perhaps the tool, of so much suffering. I love that there are people who are so left-wing that the presence of a penis is itself somehow an act of violence, okay? Most transmasculine people don't get one. The seminal print Transmask magazine was named after not getting one. Original plumbing. I saw transmasculine support groups shut down and go silent more than once when someone brought up the procedure, and later, when I was that someone, I was twice invited to leave with other people who might want to talk about that. Whatever magical spectrum of unicorn gender expression was otherwise being embraced, it ended firmly before needing a socially, culturally, politically, historically, personally, emotionally, medically complicated dick. But I did, and I couldn't outrun it any longer. Literally, the day I gave in and admitted that for me it was penis or death, came after a last-ditch bout of denial in which I drove 1,400 miles in 3 days only to have acknowledged, devastated, at my destination that I couldn't avoid it anymore. This person says, quote, there's a scene in Disney's original Dumbo when the child's elephant mom cradles him in her trunk and sings to him exuding love, quietly but wholly. As a kid feeling utterly unheld by this world, I hated it. As a grown man in a hospital bed, chest loosely draped with a gown in a low-lit December room, I looked down in the direction of a penis I'd assumed would be covered in bandages. But then there it was. Laid out in an angle toward my left thigh, propped on a green cloth, and I, awed and heartful and weeping, sang that song to it. Baby mine. I don't know the words. While I'd been sleeping, two microsurgeons, a reconstructive urologist, a surgical fellow, and a surgical resident had, among other things, cut a 7 by 6 inch rectangle out of my right anterior lateral thigh. They'd taken all the skin and fat, plus one big nerve and some veins attached to the muscle, and connected the skin itself in the shape of a phallus. Then they slipped the whole thing under two of my thigh muscles, pulled up out of the way with a steel retractor, dragged the phallus across my groin under the skin, and pulled it back out into the world through a hole cut in the skin over my pubic bone. They connected the new penis's nerve to one of the nerve bundles in my native penis, which some people call a clitoris. And it's not a native penis, that's called a clitoris, which they cut free of its ligaments, then skinned, then tunneled up under the skin and out to the landing site of the new penis, the base of which they joined to the base of my pelvis, putting me all back together with sutures, some finer than a human hair. That penis, Dr. Babak Safa, one of the microsurgeons, said, when he came by to see me after, to see us, looks perfect. He was mostly talking about the blood flow. He did not mean that with its fresh stitches and a round bloody hole at the top where the skin would eventually close together, it would look like any other penis at the spa, but also, it was a lovely shape. Okay, so, are we supposed to believe that this makes you a man? Is that the idea? That this makes you... So, according to this person, this didn't make them a man. The feeling made them a man. But they needed the penis in order to feel complete. And then this needed to be put on the cover of New York Magazine to promote the idea that this is a reflection of biological reality, that this person is a man now. Understand, this article is not about Gabriel Mack and this person's experiences in life. This article is about you. Because the goal is to make you believe that 2 and 2 are 5. That is the goal. And if you refuse to believe 2 and 2 are 5, this makes you a bigot. This makes you a bad person. Radical subjectivism is not the way any functional society can work. Because radical subjectivism eventually, and this is the point in 1984, radical subjectivism eventually will be subjugated in favor of a top-down version of reality that somebody wants to impose. What this is really about, more than anything else, is getting you, again, to believe 2 and 2 are 5. That's what this is about. Alrighty, coming up, Omicron panic continues. Joe Biden has laid out his plan. It's not actually a plan. It's mostly just a yawp of rage. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The official meeting of the business-to-business meeting is called to order. Business-to-business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No. Business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win.
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
The Sea Cultural Education Center and SCAR, in partnership with SCOCHI and the Shasta Beloved Community, is having a COVID-19 vaccination clinic Thursday, December 30th from 10:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at First Methodist Church at 1825 East Street. All COVID-19 vaccines will be available, including boosters. Children ages 5 to 17 are also welcome and must have a parent or guardian's consent and an adult with them. Enjoy free Punjabi Indian food while organizers hand out gift cards. This COVID-19 vaccine clinic is dedicated to Umoja Kwanzaa. No insurance, no appointment needed. December 30th, First Methodist Church, Reading.
Wyoming, a jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already, we are experiencing record-high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, "Our customers are warm friends." We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high-priced winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Furnished by Movember.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden has now laid out his new COVID plan because all the old ones didn't work. Joe Biden laid out his plan for Omicron. Suffice it to say, Joe Biden's plan for Omicron is going to be completely ineffective because guess what's going to be effective against Omicron? The answer, you may have guessed, is nothing. That is correct. It turns out that the Omicron stats from South Africa are demonstrating that Omicron is not supremely dangerous. It is not as dangerous as Delta. It is not as dangerous as the original variant. South Africa is about 25 to 30% vaxxed. But Omicron, which has spiked in South Africa and now is coming down the other side in South Africa, did not kill massive numbers of people. In fact, it killed so few people in South Africa that Anthony Fauci has been forced to actually acknowledge the reality, which is that natural immunity might be a thing, because so many people in South Africa had already had COVID, that when they got Omicron, it didn't matter very much. It's amazing to see Anthony Fauci suddenly acknowledge that natural immunity ought to be taken into account. Here he was discussing South Africa.
It is likely that the reason that it is less severe is that in South Africa, what you have is a very large proportion of the population has already been infected and recovered, and a relatively smaller proportion have been vaccinated. So it is likely that the protection against infection is not very good because it'll get into the nasopharynx and infect you. The reason they may have a less severe is that the underlying cross protection that you have from an experience of a virus of a different variant might actually be protecting you from severe disease, which predominantly involves the lungs.
Okay, so I'm noticing here that suddenly he believes in natural immunity. Welcome to the club, which has been around, as a Martin Kulldorff, former professor at Harvard Medical School, says, that the club of people who have understood natural immunity as a thing has existed for, approximately 1,700 years, something like that. Hey, I'm glad that Anthony Fauci has finally joined the club. That doesn't mean, by the way, he's not going to press for vax mandates, even for people who already have natural immunity. So President Biden decided to give a speech. The speech is not directed at actually solving the problem. The speech is directed at pretending to solve the problem. Because, again, when it comes to this cult, the high priesthood must maintain that if only you would obey them, the problems would be solved. The problems won't be solved. Okay, you're not solving Omicron. It is 70 times as transmissible as Delta. Delta was twice as transmissible as the original variant. That means that Omicron is 140 times as transmissible as the original variant. In other words, we're all getting Omicron in the same way we all get a cold. And here's the good news. By the statistics available from South Africa and from the UK, by the way, you're not going to die from it. In fact, you are probably going to get mildly ill from it. If you're vaccinated, you're almost certainly going to get only mildly ill from it. If you're unvaccinated, theoretically, you could get more sick. We don't know how much more sick. Not as sick as you would have been if you got Delta. So President Biden has now outlined his strategy. Apparently, the strategy includes doubling down on vax campaigns and propping up hospitals as they confront a large influx of patients. Federal officials will direct resources, including army doctors, to support healthcare systems and distribute rapid tests to Americans. President Biden's speech was mostly directed at trying to scare the living hell out of you. But here is the thing. Omicron should be the time when you're not so scared. Okay, I'm noticing all around me, institutions, that are shutting their schools that are shutting down, for example, in the face of Omicron. Kids are not dying even of Delta. They are certainly not dying of Omicron. We should not be testing the asymptomatic. We should not be pursuing a lockdown strategy. That's what this ends with, by the way. If you test the asymptomatic, you're locking down society. It's that simple. Omicron is too transmissible. Too many people have it. So if the idea is that if you're diagnosed with Omicron and you're asymptomatic, you're now supposed to stay home for 10 days, and you combine that with everyone should get tested, half of society will be staying home. You will shut down the entire economy of the United States. Okay, but everything they do is not geared toward success. It's geared toward leaving the impression that they can control this thing. So in reality, here's the actual solution to Omicron. You ready for this? You ready for this? You should get vaxxed if you're vulnerable or if you're older. You should have done that the entire pandemic. I've been very clear about this. And then if you get Omicron, that's all. You will get Omicron. We will all get Omicron. We will virtually all survive and we'll move on with our lives. Done. That's the plan. I know it sounds really crazy and really difficult to say that some people are going to get mildly ill and then that's going to be the end of it. But that's kind of what the stats show at this point. Yeah, but Joe Biden is in a tough spot. He's made a catch-22 for himself. On the one hand, if he shuts down the economy, his presidency continues to crater. On the other hand, he has suggested that he is going to shut down the virus. I mean, he literally tweeted out he would shut down the virus, which no human being is capable of doing. So that means that he's going to try to split the baby. He says we should be concerned about Omicron, but not panicked. I have an idea. I'm vaxxed. I'm not concerned or panicked about Omicron. And as far as my kids go, I'm not concerned or panicked about my kids getting Omicron. Because nobody who knows any of the data is concerned about kids getting Omicron. My parents are triple vaxxed. I'm not concerned about them getting Omicron. My wife is triple vaxxed because she's a doctor. I'm not worried about her getting Omicron. So how about I'm not concerned or panicked? Here's Joe Biden anyway.
We should all be concerned about Omicron, but not panicked. If you're fully vaccinated, and especially if you got your booster shot, you are highly protected. And if you're unvaccinated, you're at a higher risk of getting severely ill from COVID-19, getting hospitalized, and even dying. So the best thing to do is get fully vaccinated and get your booster shot.
Okay, well, as far as the booster shots go, what the data tend to show is that if you are elderly or immunocompromised, you should get a booster shot, because what the boosters basically do is they increase the number of antibodies in your system. Antibodies prevent the infection. So you can get a temporary boost, and that will prevent the infection for a certain period of time. If you have a slower immune system, which is what it means to be older or be immunocompromised, this means that preventing the disease is probably a good bet, right? It's worthwhile. If you're 30, your T-cell, B-cell memory is going to kick in, and you're going to be able to fight this off. So you will get infected, and then you'll have a mild cold, and your nose will run, and then you'll be done. Okay, so that is why boosters are inapposite for everyone. In fact, there are many scientists, including the WHO, who suggest that boosters for 30-year-olds should be foregone in favor of getting first doses to people who are in Africa who have not been vaccinated at all, for example. Okay, then Joe Biden, again, he's trying to split the baby because he's stuck. He has made a promise he cannot fulfill. He was going to shut down the virus, but he can't shut down the virus. So on the one hand, we're not going back to March 2020, because if we go back to March 2020, he's toast, his party's toast, he knows it. So here he says, we're not going back to March 2020 conditions, but somebody needs to ask him why we're not going back to March 2020 conditions, considering that Omicron is going to spread way faster than the original variant, and you're telling people to be concerned.
Another question that folks are asking is, are we going back to March 2020, not just last March 2021, but March 2020, when the pandemic first hit? That's what I keep getting asked. The answer is absolutely no. No. Here are three big differences between then and now. Number one, more than 200 million Americans have been fully vaccinated. In March of 2020, no one was fully vaccinated.
Okay, so he's saying that the vaccinations are what is going to prevent us from going March 2020. But you and your administration are saying that people who get it are still going to have to quarantine for up to 10 days, which means, effectively speaking, that if you have mass testing combined with that particular rule and lack of symptoms, you will go back to March 2020. It won't be a formal lockdown. It won't be shut your businesses' doors. It will be businesses cannot operate without their employees or their customers. So you will backdoor March 2020 into actual policy. Okay, so then Joe Biden says you can celebrate Christmas if you and those who celebrate with you are vaccinated. Now, here's what makes no sense about this. If you're vaccinated, you should be able to celebrate with the unvaccinated. That's the reality. The vaccines work at preventing hospitalization and death. And you can be infected by somebody else who's vaccinated. Half the people I know at this point probably have Omicron and have infected each other, and they're vaccinated, so nobody cares. Yeah, but here is Joe Biden saying a nonsensical thing.
And I know some Americans are wondering if you can safely celebrate the holidays with your family and friends. The answer is yes, you can. If you and those you celebrate with are vaccinated, particularly if you've gotten your booster shot. If you are vaccinated and follow the precautions that we all know well, you should feel comfortable celebrating Christmas and the holidays as you planned it. You know, you've done the right thing. You can enjoy the holiday season.
Okay, well, here's the thing. If you're unvaccinated, you can also enjoy the holiday season. You're just at higher risk than the vaccinated. Okay, and then he gets to, this is kind of an amazing statement from Joe Biden. So he says, we're vaccinating you to save your life. Right, we're not vaccinating you because we want to control your life. We're vaccinating you to save your life. Well, if this standard were held by the government would control your life. And because it turns out that the number one cause of death in the United States is heart disease. Heart disease is highly linked to obesity. Do you really want the government deciding what you can eat on a daily basis? Realistically speaking, the principle of which he is speaking, this broad principle that the government can do anything it wants in order to save your life, is, as we say, overbroad. Okay, here's Joe Biden saying, we're vaccinating you to save your life, not control your life.
I know vaccination requirements are unpopular for many. They're not even popular for those who are anxious to get them. My administration has put them in place not to control your life, but to save your life and the lives of others.
Okay, so saving the lives of others is not really the issue in the sense that, again, vaccinated people can transmit the disease. It is true that if you were a benevolent dictator and you could force everybody to get a vaccine, fewer people would die. The problem is we still have in this country a baseline notion that you should be able to make decisions about your own health that affect you. Okay, that is a baseline level of liberty. And once the government gets to decide that they can do whatever they want in order to quote unquote save your life, that means there are no limits. And you end up in Michael Bloomberg land. No soda, no meat, no eggs. We all eat like Joe Biden wants us to eat. If there's no limiting principle here, there's no end to the control, which of course is kind of the idea. There is no end to the control. By the way, there's a certain irony here. That irony is that Joe Biden's press secretary, Jen Psaki, was asked about whether Joe Biden had COVID. And her answer was less than edifying.
How is the president feeling given close contact? Is he asymptomatic? Is he doing okay? I know he's getting tested tomorrow, but give us an update.
He's asymptomatic. I spent several hours with him this morning, and he is feeling great, and you'll see him at the speech shortly.
A question. That was not the question. The question was, has the president tested recently? And Jen Psaki's answer was, he's asymptomatic. Okay, so that's actually a good answer if you hold by my logic. That is a terrible answer if you hold by Joe Biden's logic. By my logic, if you're asymptomatic, I don't care whether you have COVID. I really don't. Because asymptomatic people have all sorts of stuff. We have never in the history of humanity tested people for asymptomatic things with the intent of shutting down their lives. The notion of testing the asymptomatic is a bizarre one. So by my lights, if Joe Biden is asymptomatic, he doesn't need to test. But we've been told that Joe Biden tests every day. Right? We were told that earlier this month. So if he tests every day and Jen Psaki is saying he's asymptomatic, that means that there's a good shot that he actually has COVID and is asymptomatic. And yet he's out there doing what he wants to do. I'm not sure what else I'm supposed to take away from Jen Psaki answering the question as to his COVID positive status by saying he is asymptomatic. You don't get to use Jen Psaki logic here. You have to use my logic to come to that particular conclusion. Okay, what all this is resulting in is a vastly discombobulated policy. And you can see it on the left. I mean, they're just running around, waving their hands around in the air like the crazy inflatable men at the used car lot. It's just a bunch of conflicting proposals that make no sense in tandem with one another. Alrighty, coming up, the Biden administration has itself in a bit of a pickle because on the one hand, they said they would end COVID. On the other hand, they can't. So this means they've come up with a bunch of discombobulated anti-data policy. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This is the Cigar of the Month from Tobacco and Brew, brought to you by Liga Privada. The Underground Sun Grown is the perfect balance of Nicaraguan long filler tobacco. Draped in a lovely Connecticut sun grown wrapper, this stick received a 92 rating. With hints of spice, wood, and espresso, this robust cigar ends on notes of cinnamon. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living.
One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time. You get me every time.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the Biden administration supposedly had a plan to end COVID. That didn't work. Then they had another plan to end COVID, and that didn't work. So instead of just saying we can't end COVID, learn to live with it, they've decided they need more plans, all of which are bad. So what exactly are the proposals that emerge from this very confused, discombobulated administration? They've created a catch-22 for themselves. Yes, we'll stop COVID. Also, we can't stop COVID. This creates a lot of bizarre proposals. So the great and powerful Anthony Fauci, he says that if you're unvaxxed, you should stay away from the vaxxed, and vice versa. Here's Dr. Anthony Fauci explaining.
If someone in your family isn't vaccinated, should you ask them not to show up?
Yes, I would do that. I mean, I think we're dealing with a serious enough situation right now that if there's an unvaccinated person, I would say, I'm very sorry, but not this time, maybe another time when this is all over.
Okay, that's ridiculous. If you're vaxxed, you shouldn't be afraid of the unvaxxed. You should be done. And meanwhile, the New York Times is saying maybe schools are going to have to close. No, schools don't have to close. The kids are not vulnerable, you idiots. And yet Dana Goldstein writes for the New York Times, the dread was familiar. As news spread of the latest COVID surge fueled by the Omicron variant, parents faced a return to the drudgery of school through a screen, childcare crises, and restless young bodies penned inside for the winter. In Manhattan, Olivia Strong received an email from her son's public middle school on Monday, informing her that his cohort of eighth graders would transition to remote learning because of multiple positive virus cases. I fully expected it, she said, sighing deeply. Her hope, she added, was that a short break to reset would allow schools to reopen more safely in the new year. I mean, I'm sorry, this is insane. This is insane. Kids are not dying of this virus. They've not been dying of this virus the entire time. And yet, they continue, now they're talking about school shutdowns. Really, like all over the country, there are people who are talking about school shutdowns because of the COVID paranoid. Members of the COVID cult have decided that they are going to ensure that kids are not allowed to go to school, which, by the way, raises anxiety and depression among kids. We saw a vast amount of that over the course of the last year and a half. It means they fall behind. Now, the masking of kids is having some pretty dire effects on how kids operate in the real world. The data are in, and masking has serious downsides, which is not shocking. It turns out when you take small kids, and you don't expose them to human faces, they're not that good at reading emotions. It actually screws with their IQ. It is not good. And yet this administration, at the same time, Joe Biden is saying it's not March 2020. Meanwhile, the administration is like, well, it might be March 2020. So here's Education Secretary Miguel Cardona saying that the school shutdowns in the first place were not overdone. On what basis? On what basis?
Absolutely not. And I'm not only speaking as an educator, but as a parent. Not only did we want to make sure we protected our children and our staff with information that we know now, but we didn't know then. But I think it's really important to remind folks that children can carry it, and they could spread it to their grandparents. They could spread it to family members back at a time when we didn't have vaccines. You know, we lost so many lives, and I believe that the precautions that we took were necessary.
Okay, Europe didn't shut down its schools, and nope, this is just wrong. This is wrong. I mean, the evidence that school shutdowns were a good idea, that evidence does not exist. The evidence is completely absent in every possible way. And by the way, if he thinks that it was bad in March 2020 and the problem is you could infect grandma, well, guess what? Omicron is way more infectious. So why wouldn't they push for school shutdowns? Meanwhile, Rochelle Walensky was questioned about masking and vaccinating kids because, again, kids are not dying of the virus. And also, there's no evidence that masking kids is useful at all. And so she's just not going to answer the question. She's just going to maintain that you have to do all of these things because this is what the cult requires.
Will you follow the science and stop relying on faulty studies and end mask mandates for children in schools?
Response.
You know, there have been study after study, not only in this country, but in other countries that have demonstrated that our layered prevention strategies, including masks in schools, are able to keep our schools safely open.
Nonsense.
We want to be able to keep our schools open, and the best way to do that is to use those layered prevention strategies, and that includes not only vaccinating our children and our adults, but also to continue to mask, certainly in the context of this very transmissible Omicron variant.
She has not one shred of evidence. Okay, the question here was, okay, Rochelle Walensky has over and over and over cited a bad study. The Atlantic completely debunked this study. There was a study that she kept citing saying that that school children were three times more likely to get COVID if there was no mask mandate. That study is complete garbage. It does not work. It does not use comparable control groups. It is just, it's a nonsense study. The Atlantic, okay, not a right-wing organization. The Atlantic completely ripped that study apart. She's asked about it, and her response is, I'm just not even going to cite data. I'm just going to tell you what you ought to do. I mean, this is craziness. It's craziness. So they say they don't want to shut down society. They say that the vaccinated should be able to lead normal lives. Then they're like, also, you should never associate with an unvaxxed person again. Also, your kids must be vaxxed. Also, you should get boosters. Also, you should continue to wear a mask. Also, we should test the asymptomatic. Joe Biden wants 500 million tests for people to test. And people are lining up around the block in major cities around the United States, convinced by the media they must test for Omicron if they've got a sniffle. This is craziness, folks. It's nuts. Andy Slavitt, former White House senior advisor on COVID, he's now saying that we need to push for more boosters and require booster shots. We need to require booster shots, not for the most vulnerable, but for everyone. We need to require boosters. Weird. Israel has had third shots of boosters. And guess what? They still have an Omicron outbreak. In fact, that Omicron outbreak is so severe, they're now requiring fourth shots in Israel. You should get your punch card. And if you finally get to 12, then you get a free donut. It's exciting stuff happening here. In Chicago, Lori Lightfoot, the complete turd of a mayor, she was suggesting, quote, to put it simply, if you have been living vaccine free, your time is up. If you wish to live life as with the ease to do the right things you love, you must be vaxxed. This health order may pose an inconvenience to the unvaccinated. And in fact, it is inconvenient by design. She's deliberately making your life worse if you are unvaxxed. And then she says she's going to call for vax passports. The vax passports are completely useless. They're useless. Vaccinated people are passing this. New York City has had a vax passport for months at this point. In a massive outbreak in New York City. This is not designed to elicit the actual result that they supposedly want, which means that what is it actually designed to do? Maximize power and get you to signal that you've got skin in the game. By the way, if you go into a coffee shop and you stand in line for 10 minutes unvaccinated, that is plenty of time to infect everybody around you. So obviously, this is not designed to elicit a response. It's designed to just pressure people. That pressure is not going to be successful. Meanwhile, Miguel Cardona, again, the education secretary, insisting that masks work. Here is the thing. N95s do work. KN95s work. You know what there is no evidence works? Cloth face masks. You know who said that? Leanna Wen, The most hawkish person on COVID it is possible to be. On CNN, she said they're facial decorations. That is correct. Your government is still providing you bad data.
The goal is to have students safely in the classrooms. We don't want quarantines. No one benefits when they're quarantined. Parents have to leave work or late notice to change their schedule. And we know masks prevent the spread of COVID-19. So when there are policies in place that prevent that, I think those policies are going to come under question because it's hurting parents' ability to be at work. And most importantly, it's hurting our students' ability to be engaged with their peers and with their teachers where they learn best.
My God. So here's what they do. They set a stupid rule that makes no sense. And then to back up that rule, they set up another stupid rule. Here's the actual solution. Unmask the kids. Leave them the hell alone. Don't test the asymptomatic. If you're symptomatic, go home. Done. Just like the flu. Just like every other disease in the history of humankind. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. A New York judge ordering the New York Times to hand over confidential legal memos it obtained between conservative group Project Veritas and its attorney.
State Supreme Court Justice Charles Wood in Westchester County upheld his earlier order. That ruling prevented the Times from further publishing the memos written by attorney Benjamin Barr. That order, released publicly on Friday, came in a defamation lawsuit that Project Veritas filed against the Times in 2020. But the newspaper says it'll appeal the ruling and seek a stay.
Correspondent Andrew Stewart, a Navy vessel sidelined because of COVID.
A U.S. Navy warship has paused the scheduled deployment to South America due to a coronavirus outbreak on board. The Navy says the USS Milwaukee is staying in port at Naval Station Guantanamo Bay, where it had stopped for a scheduled port visit. The Navy says the ship's crew is 100% immunized, and all those who tested positive for COVID-19 have been isolated away from other crew members. The number of those testing positive was not disclosed. According to the latest data released by the Navy, more than 98% of all active duty sailors have been fully vaccinated. I'm Mike Gracia.
Also at townhall.com, last refugees from Afghanistan who are temporarily housed at Marine Corps Base Quantico have been resettled elsewhere.
The Northern Virginia installation is one of 8 military bases across the nation that has provided temporary housing to Afghan refugees who came to the U.S. after the Taliban's rapid ascent earlier this year as U.S. troops evacuated the country. The Department of Homeland Security said in a news release Thursday that the final refugees left Quantico on Wednesday. Keith Peters reporting.
Shaping up to be a warm Christmas in the South with highs near 90. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting in, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/disclaimer and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology or pre-recorded
813-813 so you can learn how to predict market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Whether you're trading stocks, options, Forex, futures, or crypto, VantagePoint's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text MONEY to 813-813 to find out how to maximize your gains. Don't wait. Text the word MONEY to 813-813 now.
Some additional help for American troops. The Justice Department and Consumer Financial Protection Bureau issuing a warning to mortgage companies and landlords. Correspondent Jeremy House has that story.
The department is telling the two groups to heed rules meant to protect members of the U.S. military against foreclosure, eviction, and other potential housing-related financial hardships during the pandemic. The move comes as forbearance programs put in place in the early weeks of the pandemic last year to allow homeowners to hit pause on their mortgage payments are set to expire at the end of the month. Roughly 7.6 million homeowners entered forbearance during the pandemic and have exited, but some 1.25 million, many military personnel or veterans, remain in forbearance programs about to expire. Jeremy House reporting.
Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Well, just about everyone has received a gift at Christmas or perhaps a birthday that you just didn't like or it didn't fit, so you re-gifted it. We've all done it.
But two New Hampshire brothers, they've gotten a little carried away with their holiday re-gifting skills. It started in 1987 when Ryan Wasson gave a 10-roll Frankfurt Santa's candy book with assorted fruit flavors to his brother Eric as a joke. Well, the next year, Eric gave it back to his brother, and for the last 34 years, they've been passing it back and forth every year. The candy has been frozen once into a block of ice. One of the brothers decided to put it in some Jell-O, and next year, the brother sewed it into a teddy bear, again as a joke. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR, Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take this chainsaw to?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
Everybody, listen up!
Pass all the kitchen scraps for lepers and orphans. No more merciful beheadings.
And call off Christmas.
We will do no such thing, mister. We are not calling off Christmas. It is Christmas Eve. Happy Christmas Eve to you and yours, Mike Opelka, on the Chris Plant Show, in for my friend Chris Plant today. Yeah, it's kind of a free ride, isn't it? That's a great Christmas song. Free ride. That's what our Democratic friends are calling for in D.C., Well, welcome to Friday, Christmas Eve on a Friday in a fairly empty Washington, D.C. A lot of people who could skedaddled already. And now here we are telling the entire country all of their filthy secrets. It's Mike Opelka, as I said, in for Chris today and wrapping up the Christmas season on the Chris Plant Show. So many things to get to. We didn't get the chance on this show yesterday to talk about the carjacking of Democrats. Now, as a person who's been carjacked at gunpoint on a date, I have skin in this game, and I can talk about this, so we'll get to that today. Kamala Harris has decided she's fighting back. She's tired of the bad press and the bad poll numbers that she's gotten. So she's not going to take any real serious action that would change that. She's not going to actually do her job. She's going to whinge, as our British friends would say. And she's going to play some cards. She likes playing cards, so she's going to play some cards. So we'll get to some Kamala card playing that she did yesterday. There's some really interesting contradictory Fauci stuff that's happening. Jen Psaki, the press secretary, some people pronounce it Psaki, or I think Chris calls her Psaki. But Jen Psaki, as I like to call her, has had some new lies that she's spreading. And we have to talk about that as well. CNN is kind of like, well, I was going to say kind of like Joe Manchin, but not quite like Joe Manchin. But it does appear that they've soured on Joe Biden. And we'll get into that because CNN has decided that Joe Biden is worse than Jimmy Carter. Man, how bad can it be when CNN is telling the world that your economic policies are beneath Jimmy Carter's, are worse than Jimmy Carter's? Wow. You got to feel really badly. I'm sure there were screams of, come on, man, up and down the halls of the White House after that segment on CNN. It was just too much, too much. Of course, yesterday we had the very, very sad news. I think it was sad news. I know a lot of people like that race-baiting charlatan Al Sharpton are cheering on the verdict of Kim Potter, who was found guilty on two counts of manslaughter, first and second degree. And I've watched that tape over and over again. And while she may have been guilty of what I consider to be negligence, I certainly don't think this was a willful taking of a life. It's a horrible tragedy. But we seem to be not taking all of that into account. At least that's what I heard. And I don't know if you heard the judge. Maybe we'll get to this. The judge in this case was speaking yesterday, not only after reading the jury's verdict, but speaking. And it reminded me of something I've seen online. I think it's called AMSR or ASMR. I think it's AMSR. Where people do stuff on video, like open boxes, and they whisper. I don't know if she has a speech issue. I hope she doesn't. I'm certainly not making fun of her if she does. But it just seems like the soft voice reminded me of an ASMR video where the judge is saying, and we would like to tell you the guilty verdict is in. It's just very bizarre to me. And maybe I'm the only one who saw that. What else have I got in here? Two pills from Pfizer and Merck. Now, the Pfizer pill, which was approved 2 days ago, is apparently something that if you're just contracting COVID, any of the variants, that if you start taking this, it will help prevent serious types of the disease and prevent maybe hospitalization. 90%, 95% of the people who've used it, as they just got the COVID, they have avoided hospitalization and, of course, death. Now, the Merck pill, which got the emergency use yesterday, I was looking at the Merck pill, which I can't pronounce. Some interesting stuff in that. Merck got approval on this pill, even though they're telling people it shouldn't be given to children or pregnant women. So how did that get approved? I just would like to know. If you're planning on flying today, maybe you're waiting at the airport, I might have bad news for you. There are considerable flight cancellations, which started last night because of staffing shortages. Some of it has to do with people getting the variant, the latest variant, Omicron, of COVID, and being forced to stay at home. The CDC relaxed some of the guidelines yesterday for healthcare workers. You know, if you got COVID, even if it was the very mild Omicron variant, you were told you had to isolate for 10 days. And this thing is really contagious. It's the dominant variant. We are told we're going to have 150 million people with it very soon in this country. And you'd have the whole country in lockdown for 10 days, which maybe that's what they want again, so they can justify, they being the Democrats, the liberals, the far left, can justify imposing another massive round of payments and say that we have to provide everything to people because we are the government. So I was happy yesterday when I read that the CDC had relaxed the guidelines, but only for healthcare workers. Healthcare workers now have a shorter time of isolation. It's gone from 10 days to 7 days. It should be about 3 days, if you want to be honest around it. And we need to talk about the testing thing, because the testing thing is really interesting. The testing package that is happening, we're going to get a half a billion tests. You and I are going to pay for a half a billion rapid tests that are going to be mailed to everybody. And really interesting what happened yesterday in the conversation during the press conference, and Jen Snarkey was asked by Peter Ducey, just what a warrior Ducey is, was asked by Peter Ducey about the mask purchases. Because there are stories out there now that say that the Biden administration in October was offered a plan saying, hey, we got to get some more testing out there. And they said, no, we're good. We're good. We don't want to spend any money on those pesky tests. And then suddenly you have a new variant hit, which the scientists have told us they're on the lookout for variants every day. But these guys were, they were skating through, thinking they had this under control. So now we're going to rush and buy these tests. And Biden announced it the other day, 500 million tests. And we're going to mail them out to everybody. And you and I are going to pay to mail them, which is another issue that I have, that we are now going to be funding the post office, sending all of these tests out. This is another cash injection to a part of the government that needs a lot more attention on efficiency. Anyway, so yesterday, Ducey asked Jen Snarky about the purchase. And a really interesting exchange happened.
Why is it that you guys are promising 500 million tests next month if you haven't even signed a contract to buy the tests?
Well, we have no concern about the contract being finalized. We're just working to finalize the contract.
We have no concern. Well, say that again, Jennifer.
There's no, we don't see any issue or any halt to getting that done.
So you don't see any issue, but give me that last part again.
Why is it that you guys are promising 500 million tests next month if you haven't even signed a contract to buy the tests?
Well, we have no concern about the contract being finalized. We're just working to finalize the contract.
Yeah, we have no concern about finalizing the contract. We're just working to finalize the contract. Shouldn't we be getting a good price? Does anybody miss Donald Trump about right now? Anyone, well, I get up every day and I miss Donald Trump. Anyone else missing Donald Trump saying, I miss a president who would negotiate for America to get us the best price on everything, to get America back to work, to get everything right, to think America first. I'm just saying that would be kind of a good thing if we could get that done. I'm not sure if this organization, this White House, thinks that way. Really irritating to me. Really irritating. I'm also looking today. We will take some always able to take woke Olympics nominations. There's some woke things we have to talk about. We're going to talk about some of the strange media moments that happened during the course of the year. As I said, we're going to have some fun with the vice president. And by fun, I mean it's going to be fun for us and not a lot of fun for her. And since it's Christmas Eve, I would love to hear any bizarre Christmas traditions, either in your family or things that you've witnessed in other countries. I have a small list of some very bizarre Christmas traditions that happen not only here but around the world. And I didn't know that mall Santas were a pretty much an American thing. Mall Santas are usually, I thought, everywhere around the world. But apparently we are the home of mall Santas. And as a former mall Santa, I take pride in the fact that America originated it. But I'm looking for weird Christmas traditions. And so you're always welcome at 888-630-9625 to join the conversation. We'll cover it all. As I said, we'll talk about carjacking Democrats. We'll talk about the crime wave, which it just is endless. And the only way to really solve it is to stop coddling criminals and put boots on the ground the way Rudy Giuliani did with New York when he cleaned up New York before the communists took it over under de Blasio. So we'll get to all of that today. Your calls, your Christmas traditions. It's Opelka in for Plant on the Chris Plant Show.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Now at Banana Republic Factory, 50 to 70% off everything. Discover winter essentials, holiday party looks, last-minute gifts, and more from $14.99. Find your nearest store or shop online. Only at Banana Republic Factory.
Mike Huckabee is celebrating Christmas, and you can join him. All this week, Newsmax is featuring its special, Mike Huckabee's Christmas in America. Even former President Trump joins Mike and talks about the war on Christmas. So watch Governor Huckabee and his special guests, John Voight, Joe Namath, Dr. Ben Carson, Sarah Sanders Huckabee, Benjamin Netanyahu, and many more. Christmas is more important than ever. Tune into Mike Huckabee's Christmas in America as he discovers the real meaning of the holiday. Newsmax is America's news channel for real news. Find it on all major cable systems. If your cable operator doesn't carry Newsmax, call them and demand it. Or get Newsmax streaming on Amazon Fire, Samsung, Roku, Zumo, Pluto, LG, YouTube, and more. Millions are watching Newsmax with the free app on their phones. So check out Newsmax for Mike Huckabee's Christmas in America. Let's make Christmas great again.
When others treat your fries as an afterthought, all you're left with are cold, soggy fries. That's why Wendy's new fries are ones you won't forget, guaranteed to be hot and crispy, or we'll replace them. We're talking natural cut, skin-on fries, perfectly seasoned with a hint of sea salt. In fact, they're even preferred almost 2-to-1 over McDonald's. These are fries so hot and crispy, they beg a new question.
What would you like with your fries?
Trying them today, only at Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, taste preference based on a national taste test by an independent research company.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times that I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
DINOVITE.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Now at Banana Republic Factory, 50 to 70% off everything. Discover winter essentials, holiday party looks, last-minute gifts, and more from $14.99. Find your nearest store or shop online. Only at Banana Republic Factory.
Do you know 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports lose? Is it really that surprising? The game is rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups, not to mention experts, who have more tools and more time. You don't stand a chance. Introducing the first ever daily fantasy sports book, Stat Hero. Stat Hero puts the player in control and winning within reach. Here's how it works. Stat Hero shows you their lineups and dares you to beat them. It's you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. You name your stakes, winner take all. You have the advantage. Stat Hero is showing you their lineups ahead of time. No one else does that. You're in total control. Stat Hero is daily fantasy sports the way it was meant to be. One-on-one.
Go to stathero.com/bonus. Sign up for free and use promo code BONUS for 100% deposit match. What do you have to lose? That's stathero.com/bonus. Use promo code BONUS for 100% match on your first deposit.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention, have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
And Merry Christmas to you and yours. It's the Chris Plant Show with Mike Opelka, sitting in for my friend Chris Plant, and enjoying some of the different Christmas songs. because you're all hearing the typical ones. Mariah and Wham and all of that stuff. So the great Michael Piercy has obliged my whims and sought out brilliant stuff like The Waitresses. Because who doesn't love The Waitresses? Merry Christmas. It is the day before Christmas. We have many things to get to. It's not all candy canes and eggnog, which I still don't understand who drinks eggnog. Never been an eggnog fan. It's like drinking a cup of fat. But there are folks who love it. Not me. We are looking for weird Christmas traditions. As I said, you're more than welcome to join us in the discussion of strange Christmas traditions in your family or from places you visited. 888-630-9625. I'm talking about some of the strange traditions we have in this country. I mentioned mall Santas. But I was taken aback by a news report yesterday following the conviction of Kim Potter, the retired former police officer in Minnesota who was convicted of manslaughter, first and second degree, two counts, guilty. And now will be spending Christmas away from her family after serving 26 years on the police force. And she is remanded to custody immediately by the judge. She's going to get her sentence, I think they said either mid-January or mid-February. And everyone on the anti-cop side of things is calling for the maximum sentence for this woman for the tragic accidental, I believe, shooting of the young man. And you just watch the film and you hear her say, taser, taser, and you know she didn't mean to shoot him with a gun. Tragic on every level. We get it that the family of the young man will not have him around at Christmas, but now we've got two lives completely destroyed. There were civil remedies that could have been levied against this officer, but I didn't see this as criminal. But in the era, in the wake of George Floyd, you know what's going to happen. So she's got this going on. But after that, the press secretary wanted to make sure that we knew Joe Biden is going to be now pitched as a law and order president, especially with all the crime going on, the crime waves. He's going to get behind the cops. And so she wanted to make it very clear yesterday.
This is a priority for the president. The president has never supported defunding the police. He's always been an advocate for adequate funding.
I seem to remember maybe something contradicting this.
The president has never supported defunding the police.
Now, I do know that Joe Biden has made several very clear statements saying that he did not want to defund the police, that he would not defund the police. And that's good. I'm glad he said that. I'm glad we have several records that say that. But I seem to recall during the campaign, before he was president, I think this happened before, he was talking to a gentleman, a reporter named A.D. Barkan, a man who I think has some pretty serious challenges, and yet he's making it work. He's hustling and getting to interview a guy who would go on to become the president of the United States, which is fantastic. What a great spirit this guy has. But this guy was for defunding the police. He wanted money taken away from police departments and put in other places because that's what these social engineers and social justice warriors want to do. They want to shut down what has been a successful system, except for some bad apples in the barrel, but what has been a very successful system of holding law and order in our cities, and they want to tear it down. They want to send in psychologists and counselors. But I seem to recall this little clip of A.D. Barkan and Joe Biden.
Surplus military equipment for law enforcement. They don't need that. The last thing you need is an up-armored Humvee coming into a neighborhood. It's like the military invading. They don't know anybody. They become the enemy. They're supposed to be protecting these people. So my generic point is that...
Can we agree that we can redirect some of the funding?
Yes, absolutely.
So, yes, absolutely, we can redirect some of the funding. Now, technically, Joe Biden didn't say, I want to defund the police. But if you break it down, redirecting the funding means you're taking it from one place and putting it into another place. And what we've seen in cities all across the country, in New York City where money was taken, in Philadelphia where money was taken, the spike in crime is undeniable. We'll get into all of it and some Christmas fun, too. Mike Opelka in for Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
This is The Chris Plant Show.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time. You get me
every time. Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Hi, I'm Janet McCarn, one of the owners of Orchard Nutrition Center. We are proud to be joining KCNR in sending holiday greetings and wishes to all our veterans and those currently serving our country, and to their families waiting at home. It is a huge sacrifice they make for our country, and Orchard Nutrition Center is proud to honor our veterans every day with a 10% in-store discount. Sending warm wishes from the Orchard Nutrition Center family to all our veterans today and all year long. Thank you for your service.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Turn your someday into today. The Shasta College spring semester begins January 19th, and now's the time to register for classes. First-time, full-time students, get your first 2 years tuition-free. At Shasta College, we'll teach you the skills, give you the knowledge, and provide the training you need to unlock your potential. Reskill, upskill, or get transfer-ready at Shasta College. Go to www.shastacollege.edu/apply.
Hi, this is Whitney from Timberline Heating and Air Conditioning. On behalf of the whole Timberline team, we wanted to take this opportunity during this special time of year as we gather to spend time with our family and friends. It is also a time to remember all of our veterans and those currently serving our country. So we join with KCNR for Operation Holiday Salute, sending peace, hope, and happiness this holiday season to all our veterans and service members from the Timberline Heating and Air family. Happy Holidays.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you. like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Welcome back to the Chris Plant Show. It's Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas to you and yours. Mike Opelka is my name. Back once again for my buddy Chris Plant. He's home in Chicago, and I'm kind of jealous. That's both of our hometowns, and even though it's kind of a mess right now, you always like to go back home and, you know, see the old friends. Chris is hanging out with some of the guys from the old neighborhood, and I'm really jealous. Anyway, we have a lot to get to, a lot of news to cover today. We'll talk about what's happening with COVID, because Omicron is now presenting a particularly vexing problem. And it seems to be confusing the people who are supposed to have all the answers, like Dr. Fauci. We'll get to that. Fauci's birthday is today? Is he 81 today? Happy retirement, maybe? Would that be too much to ask? I hope you get a retirement for your birthday. That would be really nice if someone would give him a retirement today so we could be done with him. We'll talk about Dr. Fauci. He said some very confusing things in the last 3 days. Keeps changing what he's saying. But I also asked if you had any unusual family traditions, Christmas traditions. And Colin is calling from Falls Church, Virginia. Colin, welcome to the Chris Plant Show.
Hi, Michael. Thanks. Hey, I know most people do turkey, but we have two traditions in our family. We do ham instead of the turkey, but our family tradition is we serve it on hubcaps, and the reason we do that is there's no place like Chrome for the holidays.
Colin, I would really like a giant water balloon to fall out of the ceiling and hit you right now and soak you completely. Oh, there's nothing like a pun. Go ahead.
So I know you said you don't like eggnog, but do you drink coffee?
No, I drink tea. I do not drink coffee. I'm an unusual American.
Okay, but you can still do this tradition, whatever your hot beverage. So I was in the Army. Did you ever play with those little green Army men, or do you have any of those?
Not now. I don't. But as kids, yeah, we had an entire battalion in our home.
There you go. Okay, so here's what you do. You drop them in your coffee or your tea. And the reason for that is the best part of waking up is soldiers in your cup.
Okay. Okay. Now, I hope you meet my brother Gregory, who was the 2010 Chicago Punster of the Year. He frequently writes in the Wall Street Journal. You can see his stuff in the op-ed pages. He had a piece this week on strange songs from the past 100 years, strange, dirty songs. But, yeah, Colin, you'd get along with my brother Greg. But thank you. No place like Chrome for the holidays, and the best part of waking up is Folgers and soldiers in your cup. Thank you, Colin. Have a great Merry Christmas. And he waited 15 minutes on hold to share those puns with us. We're talking briefly earlier, and we'll probably get back to it throughout the morning, the story of Kim Potter, the police officer, former police officer, 26 years on the force, had what I believe is a tragic accident where she killed a young man who was trying to avoid the police after they stopped him. And you can hear her screaming, "Taser, taser." And then she pulled out her service revolver and shot him and killed him. Horrible tragedy. A family has lost a young man. And now she has lost not only her career, but her freedom, apparently. the jury found her guilty on two counts of manslaughter, first and second degree. Melissa is calling. Melissa, welcome to the Chris Blanche Show. Merry Christmas.
Hi there. Happy Christmas to you.
Thank you. What's on your mind here?
Well, okay, my comment is about tasers and about guns, and the press distorts the stories regularly, and a couple of different things going on here. I mean, some prosecutors feel the need to prosecute because the press pressures them to do so. If the press haven't distorted the story, the prosecutor might drop the case and let it go. So I think that there's some of that going on, that prosecutors feel pressured to prosecute because of the press. But the undiscussed part of this is, I can believe that a police officer in the heat of the moment cannot tell the difference between the gun and their taser sometimes. I believe that it's an honest mistake. But the other part of this is that we should know when we have it coming, when we're going to get shot and when we're going to get tased. And a verbal warning may not be adequate, but if I were to ask you, do you have any idea when you were get shot or tased, you may not be able to tell me. And the point is that we know when we're going to get arrested, we know when we might get a traffic ticket. But if you ask us when we stand the chance of getting shot or tased, I don't know that anybody can answer that. And I don't see anything on the police website about when we could get shot or tased, when we have done something that's going to cause us to get shot or tased. So I consider that an unaddressed part of this.
Okay. Well, you bring up an interesting point, but first things, a lot of that, what you're talking about, has to do with whatever the local police department decides to do. The local has jurisdiction here. And in terms of use of force, every police chief or every group has the right, I guess, to lay out what their procedures are. Now, deadly force is usually only authorized when a life is threatened. And that seems to be the standard. I'm not a police officer. I just have the greatest respect for people who decide to work in a job that's not going to make them wealthy, that they get up every morning wanting to help protect everybody else, knowing that they might not come home that night and their families might lose a loved one every day. So my respect for law and order and police officers is through the roof. But that said, I don't think you can hamper the police by doing what, say, Joe Biden has said in the past. Maybe we need to teach officers when they're going to use their firearm to, let's say, shoot at the leg instead of at the chest. That's not what that's for. If you've made a decision to use a firearm, it's because your life is at stake or others' lives are at stake, and you can't shoot to wound. The only reason to pull that trigger is to end the life that is threatening others. That's truly what you have to accept that. It's like saying, we're going to make nuclear bombs, but we're never going to think of using them. The reason you have them is because ultimately you might have to use them. Yes, it's a deterrent. But tasers and pepper spray and rubber bullets, etc., those are all less lethal solutions, and I know every law enforcement group is looking at less lethal solutions all the time. But in this case, I think this was just a horrible error. And 26 years without anything like this happening, and now this woman's life and her family life is destroyed, and I just think Minnesota made a mistake here. And, of course, the guy who chose to prosecute this is Keith Ellison, the guy who somehow left Congress after avoiding all of the questions about his activities, his extracurricular activities, and he's the guy who had to make the decision on this. But it's an interesting question. I don't think you can actually tell people that, oh, here's the line. If you do this, you get tased. If you do this, I'm going to shoot you. Just know that if you're threatening the lives of other people, I believe the police have the right to take you out. That's my opinion. It's not the opinion of everybody, but I'm throwing it out there. But thank you, Melissa. I appreciate you being there. Jason's in Kensington, Maryland. Jason, welcome to the Chris Plant Show.
G'day, Mike. How you going, mate? Merry Christmas.
Hey, what part of the Bronx are you from?
Yeah, I'm from the South Bronx.
Okay, like Adelaide in the Bronx, right?
Yeah, not quite that far south, but yeah. Now this whole taser gun thing, I mean, the situation, they never put any emphasis on why the guy never complied. It's like, well, you know, if I get pulled up by police, I'm going to comply with whatever they want because, you know, only bad things can happen when you don't comply. I mean, this is kind of extreme, of course, but also, too, if you complied in the first place, then bad things wouldn't have happened. And there's never any emphasis in the media. They just put them in the victim column straight away, you know, that this guy was a victim.
But for the actions of this guy, this never would have happened. Had this confrontation not happened because the guy said, yes, I'll stop and we'll talk and you can either cuff me or quiz me, none of this would have happened.
Exactly. And also, too, if he, like you said, if he was a threat around the area, I mean, police are sort of obligated to take the threat out of the area because he could be a danger to people in the area. But, I mean, once again, if you just comply, I mean, I've been pulled up several times by police just for checks and stuff. And, it's yes, sir, and very, very polite. And it's always been a good experience, you know. But I don't get the media emphasis on this victim thing. Obviously, he's some sort of angel in their eyes, you know.
Well, we're all supposed to be innocent until proven guilty, and the cops have probably the most difficult job in law and order. You know, they're supposed to find the bad guys, detain them, arrest them if necessary, but they don't get a say in how the prosecution happens, other than gathering evidence and presenting the facts of what they saw. So it's really, it's such a thankless job for law enforcement. So thank them when you can. You know?
Yeah, no, and off subject, mate, good to see your nephew doing pretty good in the tennis, too.
Oh, yeah, Jason's talking about my nephew, Riley Opelka. He is currently number 26 in the world, third-ranked American tennis player. I believe he's headed to Australia week after next if they don't have a massive outbreak. And hopefully he'll do well. So
they get started on Australia.
Yeah. What happened down there with people rounding folks up and they have camps where they send you?
Well, I'll tell you what, people have got to be thankful that they have a constitution out here. People make fun of American constitution, but I'll tell you what, it's there for a reason. And you'll see what's happening in Australia, and they don't have any sort of constitution to lean on, and they're just basically governments doing what they want.
Yeah, it's really frightening what's happened with the kind of detentions, actual detentions. Yep. People are sent to camps. And I know the media is saying, well, we're only sending them to camps because we don't have enough hospital facilities. No, they're being detained. They're told they can't leave the porch of their little cabin facility. It's absolutely insane. And I hope they straighten it out. We'll get a live report from Riley early January, Jason, but thank you for following him. He's a good kid. Good American. Merry Christmas. Quickly, let's take one more call. Joe in Indiana. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Merry Christmas, sir.
Merry Christmas to you, too. You know, I just had a comment, you know, with charges on Kim Potter with the double manslaughter charges. And it kind of just takes me back to when Ashley Babbitt got shot. She was unarmed and never had a criminal record. And this police officer wasn't held accountable for that. So it's kind of like hypocrisy here.
It's hypocrisy with a capital H.
Yeah, you're right. It truly is.
The tragedy of Ashley Babbitt being the only person who lost their life on January 6th and it just being washed away, it cannot be underscored enough in my book. This is a military veteran who was gunned down. Now, she was crawling through a window. She was breaking into an area she should not have been going into. But I don't believe that deserves a death penalty, which is what she got. And there is no accountability for the officer that pulled out his firearm and shot and killed an unarmed woman, a veteran. An excellent point today, Joe. Appreciate you being there. Merry Christmas. I'm going to take a quick break. You want to join the conversation? You're always welcome to. It's Mike Opelka in for Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Mike Huckabee is celebrating Christmas, and you can join him. All this week, Newsmax is featuring its special, Mike Huckabee's Christmas in America. Even former President Trump joins Mike and talks about the war on Christmas. So watch Governor Huckabee and his special guests, John Boyd, Joe Namath, Dr. Ben Carson, Sarah Sanders Huckabee, Benjamin Netanyahu, and many more. Christmas is more important than ever. Tune into Mike Huckabee's Christmas in America as he discovers the real meaning of the holiday. Newsmax is America's news channel for real news. Find it on all major cable systems. If your cable operator doesn't carry Newsmax, call them and demand it. Or get Newsmax streaming on Amazon Fire, Samsung, Roku, Zumo, Pluto, LG, YouTube, and more. Millions are watching Newsmax with the free app on their phones. So check out Newsmax for Mike Huckabee's Christmas in America. Let's make Christmas great again.
Have you wanted to speak a new language but thought it'd be too difficult or take too much time? Then try Babbel. Whether you want to learn Spanish for future travel plans, French to connect with extended family, or maybe German to land a new job, Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you'll actually use. All you need is 15 minutes a day, and you'll be on your way to confidently speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel is designed by real language experts using a modern conversation-based technique that makes learning fun, engaging, and best of all, memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then sentences gradually get more complex. Soon you're practicing short conversations about real life topics. And with 14 languages to choose from and lesson topics like travel, business, relationships, and more, you'll be sure to learn what matters most to you. Babbel, language for life. Learn a new language with ease. Go to babbel.com to try for free. That's BABBEL.com. Babbel.com.
Do you take a lot of medicine or take care of someone that does? Hero is the new smart device that makes life easier by pre-sorting a 90-day supply of up to 10 different pills. Just pour them in and Hero does the rest.
So easy to use and saves me so much time. I never miss a dose. I'm never late for a dose anymore. And that is so critical to me.
What I like best about my Hero is that it's so easy to set up and it's so easy to use. And I don't have to worry about my pills or get distracted and forget, did I take that pill or not? Because it reminds me.
It alerts and dispenses with the push of a button. Plus, Hero sends a friendly alert to you and a caregiver.
Hero is amazing, but you could even live out of state with the person and still program their Hero from the convenience of your phone.
I feel better than I have ever felt simply because I have this device.
Try Hero risk-free for 30 days. If you don't love it, you don't keep it.
Call 800-608-9432. That's 800-608-9432. 800-608-9432. Call now.
Paid for by Hero Health Incorporated.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynavite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times that I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynavite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
Dinovite.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Piercy is nailing it. I challenged him to find better, different versions of Christmas classics. And he's doing it. It's fabulous. I don't want the same old ones. I want different ones. I was listening to an album called Metal Christmas this morning, and it was spectacular. Just think you need to shake it up a little bit. It's Michael Pelka, in for my friend Chris Plant. On the Chris Plant Show, we're going to try and get to everything today. It's a busy day. We just started off going over some of the general topics, and we'll have fun with Kamala Harris next hour. But I got into the verdict for the former officer Potter, Kim Potter, who's now going to be going to jail. I'm guessing they're going to hit her with 10 years at least. People are calling for more. And many of you are calling in about this. At 888-630-9625. You're also welcome to share your strange Christmas traditions, and I'll run off a few from around the world a little bit later. Reed is on the phone from Arlington, Virginia. Hello, Reed. Welcome to the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, good morning, Michael. I just want to make this comment. It's obviously a very tragic situation what happened with the loss of life of this of Dante. It clearly was an honest mistake. When you look at the dash cam video and everything we've seen so far, it was an honest mistake by the officer who has otherwise an impeccable record from what we're told. And, you know, people, like doctors make mistakes that are honest mistakes all the time that result in people dying. Sometimes because they're under enormous stress, like this officer was, or sometimes because they make a negligent decision. But we don't send doctors to jail for 15 to 25 years. Because of an honest mistake. It's handled in the civil courts with lawsuits. And I think that's what should happen here. I don't think the officer should go to jail. Maybe she should lose her job. The family should be able to sue the city or the police department for civil, you know, under civil court.
Yeah.
If we do this, if this type of pattern continues, we're not going to have police officers, just like we wouldn't have doctors if we did it to doctors.
And you bring up a really good point, because there is a parallel, I believe, between the medical profession and the police protection, police profession. They're both there to protect life. And in this case, there was an accident that we both believe happened, and it has happened in medicine, and they do have an entire world of business around it called malpractice insurance and malpractice lawyers. Maybe you see that with law enforcement if they lose their qualified immunity that so many have. This case is so troubling. The other end of this, Reed, and I don't know if you're aware of this case out in Colorado where the truck driver is going to jail, prison, maybe for the rest of his life. I think he got sentenced to 100 years because he couldn't stop his truck. His brakes went out, and the sentencing guidelines require him to be sentenced to 110 years. And the judge said he couldn't do anything about it. It was an obvious mistake. The man was remorseful. He was crying. His brakes went out. He couldn't stop his truck. They didn't have one of those ramps for him to guide the truck off the side of the road. Again, he had the same kind of tone in his voice that Kim Potter had after the horrible mistake she made. So maybe we need to look at all of this. In the case of Colorado, you now have truck drivers saying that they might avoid going to Colorado if this isn't straightened out, if the governor doesn't come in and change the sentence. So at least you have an entire industry standing up. I didn't see law enforcement standing up for Kim Potter on this, but I wonder if any of them think there but for the grace of God go I. It's a very interesting case. And one that she's certainly going to have an appeal. there will be an appeal. I guarantee you there will be an appeal. And I don't know if that appeal is filed already. One assumes it is. But she's already going to spend the entire Christmas holiday behind bars. She was not allowed to go home to her family. She wasn't given that option. I don't think she's a flight risk. I don't think the judge believes she was a flight risk. I tend to believe, and this is only instinct, I tend to believe she was remanded because they didn't want riots if she'd been allowed to go home. So much more to get to. First hour in the can. It is Christmas Eve on the Chris Plant Show with Mike Opelka. Come on back.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.